Week 343 Industries does an about face, announcing that future installments of Halo and any FPS they produce will contain a local split screen mode. This is just the start of tonight's news. Stay tuned for this and so much more starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight on the February of 26th, 2017, with episode number 677 of our program. My name is Rob Roberts, joining you live here at the Voice of Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com, where we tape every Sunday. We tape live Sunday nights at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Black Wolf Show, and we are here to talk about video games and gaming culture, the gamer lifestyle too. With me here in studio, welcome back, Dark Soccer, Jamie Summers.
Why, hello there.
Hi, how are you doing?
Better than last week.
Yeah, you don't sound so great, but at least you look good. For
well,
what
of course
it's worth.
I look good.
I always look good. I woke up like this,
girl.
I gotta say, also a big thank you and hugs and kisses to Dark Soccer, because this was something she ran and picked up for me after the show. 2 weeks ago when she was here, because she'd spotted them. What's it? This is like a Walmart exclusive,
yeah,
I don't set foot in Walmarts ever.
If I could have helped it, but I went and looked for them for Dan, because he had been all hyper. We went to like three different fucking Walmarts looking for them.
So what these are, and if I do go to a Walmart, I go to the Walmart that they built here. We broadcast live in Sacramento, California, and there is a Walmart in the middle of nowhere. Like literally in the back roads, like you're going to go to Elk Grove on the back roads for those that are local. Mm-hmm. Like there's literally a Walmart in the middle of nowhere. Like I don't know who goes there, but there's a Walmart there. And sure enough, the Walmart in the middle of nowhere had the little arcade classic.
You know, all those little things. Neighborhoods popped up around that area.
I guess so. I think it's more built for the future, because you know, down here by, I don't want to give away where I live on the show, but
there's
developments coming up nearby here, yeah, too. Anyway. So I was going to say these arcade classics. So yeah, this is pretty cool. So they're like little tiny cabinets, like arcade cabinets, like tiny arcade cabinets. I'm talking like the size of like a wallet.
They're maybe, what, 8 inches high?
Yeah, yeah. They're not that big. But they actually, like, they have a game inside them. So this one is what? This one's Q-Bert, right?
Yeah, which I honestly think it might be the ColecoVision version.
It might be. They definitely look like old school computer versions. And then this one is Centipede, actually. So I can actually, I can fire up the little demo. I don't know if you guys will be able to hear this okay, but you might be able
to hear
the little... I don't know if they can hear that at all, but you can hear like the little background noises if I try
I can
to fire
hear across the room.
Maybe it's very, very quiet. Probably sorry, it doesn't come through very well. But yeah, they're cute. They're like the screens on them are very tiny, obviously. But this is something that I've seen. Like it seems to be a trend in the whole retro gaming thing, because I guess this technology to make these little screen games is really cheap. Because I've seen now Atari flashbacks are coming on. Things that look like that, where it's like a Game Boy Micro or something. Like, you remember that? The little micros?
I have a Game Boy Micro.
I know. They're a little
remember
bigger.
Remember I used to carry it to E3 every year?
I do. But the screens are maybe a little bigger than that.
Do you know that got me into a Nintendo thing once?
Did it really?
Yeah.
No, I forgot about that.
It was, I think, the last year that we went. Because I was, the last year we went, I had media thing. It was the year before that.
Mm-hmm.
When I was like, someone's like, is that a Game Boy Micro? Yeah. You want to come see this? Sure.
That's cool. Hey, Ashley, since you weren't here last week, I don't even know if you heard this news. Did you hear about E3 opening up to the public?
Yeah, all this stuff? I knew about it. I was here when we talked about it the week before that.
Oh, that's right. Last week was the follow-up. Sorry. Everything's a blur in gaming news, you guys. Sorry about that. So last week was the follow-up that they hadn't sold out the tickets still, but so not something you jumped on or are going to be going to. Yeah.
Good point. I'm kind of done with E3.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fun.
Stories like that, I doubt, are going to happen anymore. If they do and we're wrong, awesome. We'll try to go next year, you know, but
maybe.
I just, you know, maybe.
You know, I'm still wanting to go to, I want to go to a real convention.
No.
Since we're not having GamerX this year, apparently.
No, sad. Well, there's MagWest. That's probably the contender out here. I love MagFest, though. And you know what really cracked me up?
I might go to DragCon.
So I know you don't want to talk politics on the show, but I'm just going to mention.
Not want to talk politics.
It was in the news that the guy who happens to reside in the White House right now was speaking at an event, right?
You mean
did this
Orange
whole speech
Dump?
Thing. And the whole thing with that thing. He was in National Harbor, Maryland. Mm-hmm. He was at the exact same hotel where MAGFest is at. That whole thing was at the same hotel where MAGFest is at. So it kind of cracked me up knowing that, you know, the president's saying whatever he's saying, I wasn't listening, on that stage. And I'm like, gosh, that's where, like, all these bands were playing, like Bit Brigade was playing, like, just 4 weeks ago, which is kind of funny.
I have to say something to Bob Coffey.
Yeah.
I'm not going to Anime Expo ever again.
You've been before.
I used to go. I went like 5 years in a row and cosplayed every time. Mm-hmm. My first AX was amazing. Mm-hmm. And then I went to the one at Disneyland Hotel where we had the DDR third mix.
I was going to say, you got hooked into DDR thanks to Anime Expo, right?
I played DDR in Combat Boots in 1999. It just got to be way too overly commercialized. I mean, anime now is super commercialized anyway, but it wasn't quite the same thing where you'd go and you'd find like the people selling the Japanese laser discs or, you know, all of the, you know, real import stuff or the AVEX track CDs. 'Cause I loaded up on AVEX CDs and it's just not what it was in that. And I broke a wing my last year at AX 'cause that was my Angel Sanctuary cosplay. So, I'm kind of done. Faname is a little bit better, mm-hmm. but I haven't been to Faname in a while. So
you haven't. When was the last convention you went to? You haven't gone
Gamer
to
GamerX.
Gamer. Oh yeah, GamerX. Of course. You haven't gone to a lot though.
No, not really. As many as you used to. I didn't even cosplay this year because I was so mad at the cosplay contest.
No.
But I'm hoping I can make it to the convention I've been working on all of their material for since it just started, DerpyCon.
Oh, I was going to say, is that the...
One of these days, I'd like to actually visit the convention I've been doing the guidebook for every year.
That's New Jersey?
Yeah.
I think Rama would love to have you out there.
I just want to go to New York, really. Just why not? Send me to New York, somebody. All of y'all on the East Coast, you know, maybe get $50 a person and y'all can fly me out.
Round trip. Yeah. Start your GoFundMe.
This is my Kickstarter.
All right. Anyway.
Bask in my presence.
I hate to ignore. We had to catch up with Jamie, though, since she was out last week. But I hate to ignore over there, of course, here in studio, as always, Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
Fine.
Yeah. What do you think of these little arcade thingies? Is this the sort of thing that interests you, or are you like, nah, it's cheap?
I'd buy one to take one apart.
That's a very low-key way of putting things. Actually, well, and that was the other thing I didn't mention about these things. These things were only $20 a pop. That's the thing. That technology is like so cheap now. Those Atari flashbacks are what, like $40-$50? I don't know. They're not that expensive. And I see these all the time now. I was at the mall yesterday. There's a what's that new store that's popping up with all the nerdy stuff? Box Lunch. Is that what it's called? Box
Hot
Lunch.
Topic?
No, not well, I think it's the same people that
Spencer's.
Run them. I think it's Box Lunch is what it's called.
Box Lunch.
Spencer's is disgusting now.
That's the actual I don't even think they have that at our mall.
Yeah, they have it at
there's,
Sunrise.
There's
still.
A Spencer's at Sunrise.
Who goes there? Anyway.
Disgusting people.
Apparently I do.
But what was I gonna say about that whole thing? So I was at the Box Lunch, which sells, they have little sections dedicated to all the nerddom things, right? There's a little Doctor Who section. There's a little Pokemon section.
Oh, yeah,
section,
they've got one. Like, yeah, that's right. They do have one of those places down at the the Palladio. They have a Box Lunch there.
Oh, do they really? Oh, okay.
Or something that is very similar to that.
So, of course, I got to look in the gamer section because they have, like, gamer shirts. And there was, of course, a lot of Overwatch stuff. But I was like, oh, maybe I want a D.Va shirt. And there was a Soldier 76 shirt I took a picture of and sent to Shane because he had gray hair at the time because he's in the process of dyeing it. But they also had, in their whole little gaming section, they had a little, mini... like 100 retro game thing that was like one of these tiny screens that was like probably something you could put on a keychain that had 100 retro games on it, except they're all just like, I know they're garbage, not things you recognize. This game looks like Pole Position, but it's not. And, you know, they're not.
It's Pole Poop-sition.
Exactly. It's Pole Poop-sition. And 99 other games. It's like those old Nintendo carts that are like 250 games in one. Then the joke is all the games suck. It's like one of those things. But anyway, I saw one of those, and I was like, those were pretty cheap too. So this is like this trend now in retro gaming is that the technology is so cheap for these tiny screens. We're probably going to see even more of it in the coming years. I don't know. Anyway, I want to also, of course, introduce our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. Again, live on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock Pacific. We read your chat comments, and you can participate along with the show. And sometimes you guys drive what we talk about here on air. I know there's other stuff going on in the entertainment world this evening, but, I mean... Isn't it pretty clear what's going to win Best
no,
Picture?
There's not.
Got 14 nominees. Anyway, thank you guys for being here, even when there's other stuff going on. But Dark Tetsuya is talking about the Flashback Portable. Kind of looked almost like a PSP or something, but a bunch of Atari classics on it. I think it also supported SD card ROMs. Oh, that's I didn't even realize that, if that's the case. That's pretty rad. If you can actually load ROMs on it, too. And how big of an SD card do you need for Atari 2600 ROMs?
Like, last I checked, I mean, this was a while back when I downloaded the full ROM set. It was like 6 megs, so I mean, it can't be that large.
Atari ROMs are like 4 kilobytes. That's what made that's the programming on that system and the things that they did so fucking impressive is that they had like no space to work with Atari 2600 games. So it's really amazing the stuff that they crammed. I mean, as much of a garbage translation as Pac-Man is versus the arcade, the whole reason why the Pac-Man turned out garbage is because Atari wanted it on a 4K ROM cartridge as opposed to a more expensive 8K cartridge, which I think when they did miss Pac-Man on Atari 2600 like a couple years later before the big bust and everything, if you ever played Miss Pac-Man on Atari 2600, it's fine. It's not exactly like the arcade, but it's much more what you would expect an arcade translation to look like on the 2600, right? But the 4K only ROM on Pac-Man, that's what killed that game, is that the guy was so limited on what he could work with. It's like he could only have it. The reason why the ghosts flicker is because it could only draw one ghost each frame. It couldn't draw four ghosts. So it draws this ghost, then this ghost.
That's
then
right.
This,
that's why okay. It's transparency, right? That's what I always thought it was, is flickering because they're transparent.
Yeah. Stoppy in chat says it does support SD cart ROMs, but it's not 100% compatible. Well, that's kind of, I didn't even know that. Like, I'm learning something here on tonight's OLR. I had no idea, because that means I could play that homebrew shit like Halo for the 2600, or didn't some guy go in and fix E.T.? Like,
yeah, they fixed E.T.
Like, that was the thing we reported on. So you could...
You could play Stax, that game that was part of the Ready Player One contest.
Yes, thing. Yes. That's I don't know why that's so fucking rad, but it is. Like, I just, I don't know. Anyway, let's see. Dark Tetsuya says there's a homebrew version of Pac-Man that's way better. It was based on the Ms. Pac-Man conversion. Yes, if you've ever played that, it's great.
Did they just remove the bow and that's it?
I guess, and change the pink to blue or whatever
yeah.
you had to do to change. Yeah, probably. Oh, thank you. Bobby Blackwell says there was only 3 ghosts in the Atari 2600 version. I forgot that. I forgot that there was even they had to downgrade.
It's hard enough
free
even on that.
I know. Jeez, I still even though it was garbage. The thing is, when you're 6 years old, which I think is how old I was when I was playing Pac-Man on the 2600, you don't give a fuck. Like you just I don't know. Does your 6 year old care about graphics and accuracy of things?
Yes.
Maybe the 80s was just
well,
a simpler
they,
time.
They will just, but see, now they're so, like, they know what Minecraft is, and so anything 8-bit or 16-bit, they're like, look, Daddy, Minecraft. I'm like, no, that's just how games look. I'm like, you better be good. I'm going to make you play the ColecoVision over here. Let's see how you think that's terrible. Well,
wait a minute.
Hold on.
Dar Sakura, how do you view ColecoVision gaming as punishment?
I don't.
I was gonna
exactly,
say.
But that's the point, is they play it because they're forced to play it, and then they learn to appreciate it, but they won't because...
The ColecoVision was the best system of its time, serious.
Do you know how many gamer parents I've heard say, I'm going to raise my kids the right way, and for the first 3 months that they're gaming, they're not allowed to play anything but Atari 2600 and ColecoVision.
It's too late. He already has a tablet. Like, for example...
The next 3 months, they do Nintendo.
Like, let me just put it this way. Okay, today... Alone today, he must have watched and played. He got up at 6 o'clock this morning and watched 4 hours of Minecraft YouTube videos. He then played another couple hours of Minecraft on the Wii U, followed by probably what was like another 3 hours of Minecraft YouTube videos.
That's too much Minecraft.
Exactly. He it's doesn't shut the fuck up about Minecraft all the goddamn time. Like, dude, I know you like Minecraft. I like Minecraft somewhat, but I don't need to hear Minecraft just, every fucking second
just
of
the like
day.
Daddy. Daddy was the only one that would talk about Minecraft here on OLR for a long time.
But I didn't like fill every moment with Minecraft talk.
Dark Tetsuya wants to point out about that Pac-Man ROM hack thing. They did redo the mazes. Let's not forget the maze was different in Pac-Man versus Ms. Pac-Man. Ms. Pac-Man had, I don't know if this came over on the 2600 conversion. It's been too long, but I remember the arcade was like four different mazes. As you upgraded through the fruit, you got different mazes. That was the future, Loki, was different mazes. Anyway, let's see. Stoppy in chat pointing out the Coleco Chameleon was punishment. Not the ColecoVision.
No, that's called a scam. I'm sorry. Close, but not quite.
SSU100 Matt and Chad at live.vognetwork.com says, forget going to your room without dessert. Play Virtual Boy. Oh, do you want your kid to develop chronic migraines? Because the Virtual Boy, that's how you're going to do it. That is how you're going to do it.
You know, it's quite fast. Like, I watched the Ben Heck teardown of the Virtual Boy. He actually made it better, too. But, like, just learning how that worked, how the whole Virtual Boy thing worked, was like a spinning mirror, and they had just, lights. It literally was, like, one set of lights blinking on and off, and it just spinning to cover the whole screen.
I always thought it was just one big screen.
It's, like, lights bouncing off mirrors and shit. Oh. It's, like, it's crazy.
God, no wonder it gave people headaches. That sounds cheap. All right. Anyhow, let's get into tonight's kickoff topic. I want to talk about a couple things here at the top of the show before we get into the rest of the gaming news. But the big thing this week, OLR, we've been around 15 years. When this show first started, we were gaming on mostly the PlayStation 2.
Yep.
And I think the Xbox had just come out. I think we were finally getting Xboxes to play Dance Dance Revolution Ultramix on Xbox. Like, that was like back when the show started.
When did
Ultramix
come out? Was that like, that wasn't too early in the Xbox?
It wasn't too early. It was, I remember when it came out, because we had that guy that we used to play DDR with bring the Xbox over during OLR. It was when you and I lived together at the apartment we had with the pink carpet.
Yeah.
Where we had the old webcam that would refresh every 30 seconds, right? That was when we played Ultramix for the first time. So what year would that have been? That was about the third year of the show, probably. So maybe like 2003, 2004.
Okay.
So, yeah, that was when that was out, Ultramix. So, but when the show first started, it was mainly PlayStation 2. My point is, so we were here when PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 launched. We were here on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One launched. And this week, something that doesn't happen all the time is happening. We have a new console coming out. The Nintendo Switch is finally going to be out this Friday. So we will be living in a world where Nintendo NX is no longer something we speculate about over and over again, because Nintendo won't say a goddamn thing about it. But we finally will be playing the Switch. And now that the press is getting their hands on the Switch, and more people are coming across Nintendo Switches out at Expo events, and, you know, I know Nintendo was in San Francisco with their tour, which, to be honest, with all respect, I didn't see the point of going to the San Francisco thing when it's out in like 6 days. You know, I'm like, oh, I'll have it in my living room in 6 days. So Nintendo Switch is going to be out. And we're finally learning kind of the last few things about the console, right? Some of our questions getting answered. One of the big whoppers that they dropped on us this week, Virtual Console ain't going to be there.
Which, no shit. You don't say.
Well, now, again, not to inflate my ego too much, I need to be able to fit through the door. But did I not say on last week's show, we need to be prepared, it's not coming? Because they're not talking about it, it's not going to be here. Did I not say that, like, on last week's show? So, it doesn't mean I wasn't still disappointed in the news. And I got to say, I really had to kind of, like, I don't want to say argue about this, because arguing over video games is sometimes silly. But, like, I've had to have debates with this where I know so many people that are huge Nintendo fans where it's like, if you criticize Nintendo, it's like you attack their religion or something. And it's like, okay, look, I can love video games. I do love video games. And I can love Nintendo. I do love Nintendo. I can still be critical of Nintendo.
Question the things you love.
Exactly. You can still sit here and go, this is something that should be better. And I do it with all the systems. Sony is not perfect. Microsoft
Where's
is not
perfect.
Where's my
backwards compatibility
Guess
already,
who doesn't
Sony?
Have an Xbox
yeah.
One.
Yeah. You know, Microsoft, and there's things I love about Microsoft, like the whole, I think the Windows 10 integration is awesome, personally. But anyway.
I think Windows 10 is poop.
It is awesome, because now I don't have to buy an Xbox One.
This isn't about Microsoft. Look, this is about Nintendo. And I think even though I can say I love Nintendo, I do feel like I get disappointed by Nintendo a lot, because you feel like there's these things that are like the low-hanging fruit. That's what they call it in the corporate world, right? The low-hanging fruit that you think Nintendo could go for, and they don't. And this has been a battle for forever. It's been the whole, like, online gaming thing, right? It's been like a low-hanging fruit for Nintendo that they never seem to get. That maybe they're going to get right with the Switch now that they're going to charge money for it. But we don't know because Nintendo's really still not answering a lot of those questions. Although, what? Are we going to find out on Friday? I guess we're going to have to with the online stuff, right? Because Bomberman and all that stuff is supposed to be playable online. So we'll start to get some of those answers finally by Friday. But anyway, Virtual Console ain't going to be there day one. And I have to admit, I'm a little bit disappointed. And, you know, some folks are trying to needle me on Twitter a little bit saying, oh, Rob, do you really have to play Balloon Fight on a 30-year-old game on a brand new Nintendo console? And it's like, well, yes, actually, because something that the Switch can do that the other systems that Virtual Console isn't available on is the whole fact that I could be playing something on my TV and then pick up my Switch and go somewhere else with it. And I was looking forward to being able to do that with, yes, the old games too. Or the whole, fact that perhaps if we're playing a two-player game like the original Mario Brothers, not Super Mario Brothers, the original Mario Brothers, maybe I could have a Switch and my friend who's over has a Switch and we can play old school console games like that, you know, like in the same room and be having fun with that, right? So, I am a little disappointed that's not going to be there day one. I understand that Virtual Console will probably happen eventually, but it's another one of those things where I'm like, this launch is starting to feel more and more half-assed. And then I had one of my friends telling me about how, well, when you look at the other console launches, you know, how can you say that Nintendo is half-assed because PlayStation 4 had all these ports when it came out and da-da-da and all this other stuff. Here's the thing, and I think I was thinking about that, and this is one of the other key differences. The reason why I'm really feeling this a lot is of how shady Nintendo's being with the information. At least with PlayStation 4, at least with Xbox and these other systems, we pretty much knew months in advance exactly what was going to come out of that box. We learned the answer about Virtual Console this week. We still don't know the answers about online, and this is out in 5 days, right? That's the shit that is starting to make this really feel like we're pulling it out of our ass as we go.
We don't have any sort of, like, when the PlayStation 4 and even the PlayStation 3 or even the Xbox 360, Xbox One, there was no question of how online was going to work for those systems, or even that most of the feature sets advertised for it are going to be there at launch, not, oh, hey, let's patch it in later.
Dark Tetsuya in chat says, but to be fair, is Virtual Console really a huge deal? In the meantime, they're going to get Arcade Archives, so if you need your retro fix, that would be the way to go. Arcade Archives is cool, but have they said which games in the Arcade? There's kind of a lot of garbage in the Arcade Archives. There's some good stuff. There's some good Neo Geo Fighters and like Bubble Bobble. And
isn't that just Virtual Console anyways?
It's Sony's thing. It's like arcade emulation, basically. And yeah, it is kind of just Virtual Console, so it is weird to me that it's the Arcade Archives thing is getting a whole spinoff, but whatever.
Probably because their networking shit ain't worked out. Because if you think about it, I guess it does make sense that Virtual Console's not there, because they're saying that Virtual Console now is going to support net play over the internet, as you're going to be able to do multiplayer. So because they don't have their netcode shit figured out, that's why you don't have the online networking right now, or multiplayer, for the most part. I mean, at least that paid service. And maybe that's why Virtual Console's not out, whereas these arcade games don't have that, or at least I assume they don't have that internet play, and so that's why they're able to just dump them on there.
So anyway, let's see. What's the other thing here? SG100 Matt in chat says, I would like a Virtual Console lineup to supplement the inevitable dead period between games on the Switch. Yeah, that's true too. And to be fair, maybe there was a part of me that was hoping that Nintendo was going to do it differently this time with Virtual Console. I know, but that they would actually have a constant flow of Virtual Console releases, which if you look at the Wii U in the past couple years, it has not been a constant flow. But, you know, God, what we just, there's this story floating around the internet about a guy who just beat 714 Nintendo games on his Twitch stream, right? Wasn't that there's a big story going around about that this week, right? So there's over 700 Nintendo games that they could put on Virtual Console. You put one game a week, and that's just Nintendo. You put one game a week, and that would carry that system for over 10 years, like with new stuff. Okay, I understand. Some of those games are garbage, licensing issues, blah blah blah. Fine. Get like 200 of the 700 games, less than a third. Get 200 of them. That's still going to be like one new game a week for almost 4 years. And that's just Nintendo. That's not even counting Super Nintendo, Genesis, TurboGrafx, you know, Commodore 64 they could bring back because that's a soft spot in my heart. They did like four Commodore 64 games on the Wii and then that was it. So like I guess I'm just a little bummed. I was just hoping maybe Virtual Console would be a little better this time, and it doesn't sound like it's going to be. So it's a little bit disappointing in my opinion. But I will give Nintendo this credit because, oh my gosh, I can be critical and I can say good things too. And I am very excited to hear that it sounds like more games are actually making the launch window or launch day, right?
Yeah, more games are making launch day. And also with that, there are physical games. You know, if you're like, of course, buying digitally, you're going to have to install everything. But their physical games, unlike the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, do not require an install on top of the game. It's just going to be whatever's on that cartridge. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, at least right now.
Okay.
You know, can't promise that for the future. But.
Right. But that's, I mean, that's still cool that more games are going to make the actual launch day. I know I'm very excited for Fast Racing Neo Remix. I thought that was a very competent game on the Wii U. And so I'm excited to see what they do with that with the Switch. So that's definitely, now that's like another game I will have to get on March 3rd for sure. Because right now, as it was, I was really only going to get Zelda. I'm not really interested in the Bomberman thing, which I've talked about before. Maybe when I see it in action, I'll change my mind, but I'm not willing to take the leap of faith on Bomberman the way I'm willing to do with Zelda. But I know Fast Racing Neo, I'm willing to take the leap of faith with that, so I'm excited to get that. And what snipper clips or whatever they're calling that, that's out on March 3rd as well. Nipple clamps, that's out on March 3rd as well. You can use your Joy-Con and explore fun new ways with your friends to titillate with HD vibrations. But yeah, Snipper Clips, I'm sure will be fun, and that might be a good in the same room type of game too. So I mean, yes, there's positive things as well. I like that. Okay, now Nintendo's coming out swinging out the door with more than just Zelda, even though, you know, of course Zelda's a big freaking deal, but that'll be nice. So I'm still getting my Switch. I can huff and puff about Virtual Console. I think I'm just accepting that the Switch for right now is going to be a Zelda machine for the first couple months, and Nintendo should really be thanking BioWare for going to be distracting me with Mass Effect Andromeda in these first few months, right after, you know, I get some good hands-on time with Zelda. And then by the time I'm done with Mass Effect Andromeda, oh, here comes Mario Kart, Splatoon 2, and everything else that, you know, we have to look forward to.
Do you have all your Amiibo pre-ordered? Because you got to get all the Amiibo
stuff. Do I need any more fucking Amiibo? Like,
Nintendo seems to think so.
So, yeah. So, I mean, at least there's that. And, you know, by the summer, we get Splatoon 2, which is a big deal. ARMS, I'm hearing a lot of positive stuff on. I'm still skeptical, but I'm willing to say, okay, well, let me get it in my arms and play with it, and maybe I'll be sold on it. Like, you know, I'm excited to check it out. So, and then Holiday will be the Mario game. I know, Loki, you like to joke that it'll get delayed. I think we all know Nintendo can't afford to delay that. They'll have that on Holiday, or they'll have some big fucking title for Holiday. They have to, because the real launch of the Switch is Holiday. I fully expect Virtual Console's in place probably in October.
Zero again.
No, they're not that bold. I hope not. Anyway, let's see. JD is in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com saying, a couple people I know who went to the demo, the San Francisco thing this weekend, were saying, I wasn't sold on ARMS until I played it. William Murderface points out Stormblood will be a nice time sink as well. That's right. Final Fantasy XIV gets an expansion. Nintendo can thank Square Enix as well for that. So there'll be things to distract me from, you know, okay, I'm done with Zelda on the Switch. Now what? So, all right. Anyway, what else on the Switch? Anything else we need to talk about with the Switch before we move on into gaming weeks and what else is going on?
Just most of the downloads are pretty reasonably sized. It looks like anything that's more of just like the digital-only titles is going to be about 1 gig-ish, whereas, you know, comparable download sizes to the Wii U, because I was looking at, they had Mario Kart 8 listed on there, and it's about the same size as it is on the Wii U, which makes sense because the visuals are pretty much the same. And then, you know, Zelda, of course, being the biggest one, with like 13.5 6 gigs or something.
Which is like half your storage right there.
More than half on that, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, even though they say 32 gigs, the operating system takes up so much of it. And there's going to be a day one patch, by the way, so expect that more of it will get eaten
up. Just don't buy digitally, at least on this system, because it doesn't really make sense as far as, you know, being able to store it on there right now. And because Nintendo's so good at not dropping prices of their games, so that means your game's going to be worthwhile, you know, later on. And once you've finally played out Zelda to your heart's content, then you can always sell it back later on.
Well, you're not going to have a choice on some games, right? Like Fast Racing Neo, is that getting a physical
right.
release?
Right, no, that's yeah. not. But, like, I'm talking about the ones you do have a choice, you know, okay. just buy it at retail.
Yeah. Is I Am Setsuna still a March 3rd game?
I think so.
It? Okay. I haven't checked that out on the other platforms yet, so I was thinking about maybe getting that one, too, on the Switch, just to buff up the library a little bit, so... Yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to definitely pick up a Switch on Friday, and I can't wait to talk all about it on the next edition of the show. I'm hoping over the weekend at some point I can connect with some other people that own a Switch, and we can test out some of the multiplayer stuff and you know, get a feel for it. You know, I'm still excited, despite these things where I'm like, I have to constantly lower expectations sometimes. I am still excited. I'm excited because everything I'm hearing about the whole fact that, you know, you play on the TV and then you pick it up and take it with you, it's super seamless, it's fast, it works the way you think it would based on the previews. I think a lot of that sounds really exciting. So I'm just, it sounds like, if nothing else, is like as a tech nerd, the technology is going to be awesome. Even if sometimes I wish Nintendo would do a little more with the technology. That's all it is. So, yeah. And Dungeon Buster in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says it's been getting good reviews so far. And ActDeft confirming I Am Setsuna is March 3rd. Yeah. JD pointing out, aren't SD cards cheap and easy to upgrade on consoles? Yeah, there is that. So, I mean, even though Loki's saying don't go digital, I still understand. I understand what you're saying when it comes
but
to
But does
like
it have expanded storage on that console? Like, can
oh,
you...
yeah. You can pop in another SD card. That's
Are
it.
Are you sure?
It's,
I mean,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are yeah. they going to allow you to save to it? Because
yes,
you know.
Yes. No, that's not a problem.
A
so they are making that a lot easier than it was, you know, on their other systems. So that part's well, even on the Wii, it really wasn't that bad. But I think it's even going to be a little better on the Switch. I'm not worried about that end of it at all. But I think you do raise a damn good point. When and I've always said this, you know, what's the benefit in me buying digital? Right? Because you said Nintendo doesn't drop the price on their games for a long time. So you have
more, or at all. I mean,
you have more equity basically in those cartridges. Those cartridges are still worth something. So if you do get sick of the game, you can sell it back and you make some money back. Whereas with digital games, you don't ever get to do that.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm not saying Zelda is necessarily a great example because Zelda is going to be probably that Zelda, I think it's going to be one that's going to have a lot of replayability on it. But like something like ARMS or something where you may buy it and it may be fun for a while and it's just like, okay, listen, I'm just not really interested in playing this anymore. That might be something that's worth picking up physically and doing that. I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to picking up Zelda, just to be picking up on the Wii U. I haven't pre-ordered it, so I'll try to go pick it up day one. And if they say, oh, it's not available, I'm like, well, fine, I'll just download it. I'm not pre-ordering your shit fucking GameStop.
Let's see. A couple of people in chat talking about the whole memory card thing, and a couple of people saying it looks like 2 terabytes may be the cap on the memory cards and what the Switch supports. But, okay, 2 terabytes
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. I mean, there's not that many games coming out for it yet. I mean, shit.
That's right. You could probably fit...
That's a little much.
You could probably fit everything that Nintendo's going to release this year on that kind
of
card.
In the lifetime of the system.
But that is... Loki... That is good, though, that, you know, yes, it will go that high if people do want to do the digital thing, because there are people that disagree and they think that the digital thing is much more of a convenience, especially those that are going to be more portable with the system. Fine, more power
really
to you.
Really messing out, though, not having YouTube or Netflix or anything on that thing. I'm serious. Like, that's what my son uses before we got his tablet. That's what he would use that. And he still uses the Wii U for that, is watching YouTube.
I think Netflix on the TV to the portable instantly is a real missed opportunity.
Exactly.
We talked about that in a previous episode. I'm not gonna rehab that. But you know what? Maybe it'll be there by holiday. I think we need to go back and reevaluate. I think it'd be interesting. I almost feel like I want to like write down every. Maybe we'll do this on the next episode of OLR. Tell me if you guys think this is a good idea. On the next episode of OLR, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna write down the list of my grievances and things I wish they would do better on the Switch. I'm gonna write it down and we're gonna put it in an envelope and leave it here in the studio. And during the Christmas episode of OLR, we're going to open it and see what problems Nintendo addressed during the year to make the console a full-fledged system.
Shortest time capsule ever.
Yes, shortest time capsule ever.
I like that. That's the segment.
Short attention span time capsule.
We should just do one of those every year.
I think it's a good idea. Short attention span time. Well, shit, episodes of this show are kind of, we could just always go back and listen to an old episode of OLR, but that would involve us having to listen to ourselves. I don't want to do
no,
that.
No, not going
to
do that.
I certainly don't want to listen to myself the way I sound right now. I don't even want to talk the way I sound right now.
All right, done. JD,
in a sock.
Yes, JD in chat says a mini time capsule is a great idea. Come on, Noel Gus in chat says put your list in a sock.
And you know what?
I love it. We're going to put it in a sock.
No. You know, we need time capsule. You know what that means? Huh. We need to get one of those little containers of the mini Tootsie Rolls that's actually also doubles as a piggy
one.
Bank.
Yeah, yeah.
And oh, there you go.
Why the vanilla ones?
I wasn't thinking of the short attention span time capsule.
And
at
then
the time.
On top of that, we get mini Tootsie Rolls.
I support this plan.
And
then, okay.
And we'll leave one in the time capsule as a present to ourselves.
You know what? I should like put in like a clipping of my hair to see if my hair color is like
is that going to be like
puce by the end of the year or something?
Okay,
like
I love it.
Recreating a scene in Christmas Story where like we're cutting it into three pieces, you know, this mini Tootsie.
All right, this is happening on the next OLR. Short attention span time capsule 2017 edition Nintendo Switch.
I actually think I still have one of those containers somewhere.
All right, then bring it to the show and that can be our time capsule.
Let's go buy another.
I will find
if not,
a
then I'll
sock.
Just go to the dollar store.
I will find a sock.
Get a plastic bin. We'll paint it silver.
Okay, it has to fit here in the studio somewhere. We have to. All right. I love it. Come on, Noel Gush suggests go to the 99-cent only store and put a Lego Dimensions figure in it as well.
Dude, yeah. I want to run across those. Like, my son got one as like a Valentine's Day card or whatever. And of course, he's like, I don't want this. And it was the Simpsons car. And I was like, sweet. Where do I get more of these? I like building Legos. Like, more than any person probably should. But I like it.
All right. Anything else on the Switch we need to talk about before Friday?
No.
All right. There it is. So, Dark Soccer, will you at least will you try playing with my Switch before we shove things in a sock?
I'm going to pretend that you didn't phrase it exactly that way.
All right.
I would entertain...
Phrasing.
I would entertain the possibility of a demo of the Nintendo Switch that you just happen to own.
Yes.
Socks not included.
Okay, fair enough. JD in chat simply says, whoa. Phrasing. That's Emerson Mancy.
You know what? That's going to be our quote, of our word of the year, like Tatiana's choices.
Yeah.
Phrasing.
I thought it was that Archer episode was like 4 years ago, so I kind of think
that's like every Archer episode anyway.
I have only watched like one season of Archer.
Okay, first off,
and what's her face was pregnant most of it.
First off, Archer is fucking amazing. Like,
well,
it's
yeah, but
and
I don't
it's get... got some of the greatest quotes in it. Like I just said, Emerson Mancy. Do you like ants? Do you want ants? Because that's how you get ants.
I know that.
There's lots of great Archer quotes. Anyway. Let's move on.
I was ready to move on.
Let's move on to
too
our
many socks.
Let's move on. Too many socks. Too many. All right. Never mind. That's in the 2015 capsule. All right.
Oh God.
How was your gaming week? What types of video games have you been playing this week? And what socks have you been wearing, Dark Sakura?
I have these very cushy socks that I got at Daiso in Roseville. They're $1.25 a piece. They've got cats all over them, and they're pile. They're very comfortable. They're my new favorite pair of socks.
For $1.25?
Yeah, seriously. Well, it's fucking Daiso. And they're well made.
I know what a Daiso is.
So, cat socks at Daiso, worth every
like
penny.
One of those vacuums?
No, it's you don't. Have you
That's
not been
Dyson.
To Daiso? It's like a Japanese Dollar Tree. Like, it's like the Dollar Tree, ooh, but everything in there is
in,
like.
In Japan, it's like a yen store. So.
No.
Where's this?
Or the Galleria. They have one Galleria. At the Galleria, and they're putting one in South Sac, which is going to be like.
I'm going to live there.
The Daiso, yeah. It's going
Oh, my
in...
God. I'm going to be so happy.
Yeah.
I fucking love Daiso. Anyway, so now that the socks are out of the way, let's go ahead and get on to my game I've been playing. Game Singular, because fuck.
Akuma JP is pointing out it's a 100 yen shop.
That's what I corrected myself.
Okay, I was going to say 1 yen is actually not a lot of money
no,
at all.
I like corrected myself
that's
saying
like the peso store.
Yen. Did everyone not hear when I corrected myself?
No, we were laughing too hard at the sock thing.
Girl. Okay.
Video games.
But also my Daiso socks are amazing. Anyway, So I've just been playing World of Warcraft, like, a lot. Dan's probably...
Addict.
You know what? Yeah, kind of.
How does it feel all these years later?
Well, it's... I like this whole expansion because I am an Illidan fangirl. And it's just been demon hunties all over the place.
Addict.
So you should still play with me in Vert because it's fun.
Are the GameBoy.org guys ever on there?
John was on once.
Oh, there you go. Something.
To give me guild adding privileges.
Oh, cool.
And then I actually got... I had like bad insomnia one night and played Bust a Move on my phone, as in Puzzle Bobble. And I don't know what the hell I did. I was on some fucking streak, and my highest score had been like 500,000 for a while. I hit 1,500,000, and I don't even know what I did. So, lots of Bust a Move. And then Pokemon Go, because all the new Pokemans are out, and they're adorable. Except for this one thing that I wasn't even thinking of Magma being part of its name. And you know how I feel about snails and slugs. I hate them. Hate. And it was called, like...
It's Slugma.
Slugma, yeah. Right. And for the, I didn't for a moment think about
Do
Magma.
Not go to the nastiest place possible on this show,
I
Darcy.
Did go
Do
to the nastiest go,
okay,
place possible.
Okay, that's all you need to say. That's all you need to say.
Until someone pointed out that, no, that's fire and it's magma and not the favorite curse from Red Dwarf. So, yeah, that... I've caught one and I don't care anymore. So, I have a ferret now and it's adorable.
The ferrets are cute considering they're the new Pidgeys and those things are the centrets or whatever are fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
And now I have all these ferret. The ferrets are adorable. Like I prefer
I
them to
take a
Pidgeotto.
Nap in a pile of ferrets.
You do want a ferret coat for Christmas?
No, I want them to be alive.
It's a faux ferret.
I want them to be pets for reals. But that's really been all of... Oh, yeah, Miitomo. I'm still doing Miitomo.
I do realize, though, some of the Gen 2 Pokemon get really uncreative. Like, there's a Pokemon called Pineco. Do you know what it is?
What?
It's a fucking pinecone.
You know what?
And I've his name is Pineco.
That I think is the prettiest one right now is the Zatu.
Oh, yeah, the evolved...
I caught one on its own.
Yeah.
But they're pretty. They make me think of, like... Mayan and Incan design.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like the design.
Yeah, I like... Some of the designs are really cool. Yeah.
My watch told me to stand, so I'm standing.
All right. So you stand. Catch a Pokemon with your watch.
And I have been doing Pokemon Go with my Apple Watch, and I have to talk about that a little bit.
Sure, go for it.
Because if you can't bust out your phone, but you're going to go for, like, a walk. And I think... And I don't know, though, how this works on the Series 2 that has the built-in GPS and everything. But I find it really neat that when I'm doing my walk at work, I just turn it on my watch. And it actually even has, kind of like how your little thing blinks, you know, when there's Pokemon nearby. It'll actually show me the list of them and let me pick which ones I want to catch. It lets me hit the Pokestop as I'm walking around. But the other thing, too, is that the feedback that it gives for my walking for Pokemon goes into my workout ring. You know, the whole fill the rings or close the rings challenge. That's, you know, like a big thing all over the place. It applies to my workout ring on my watch. So I love the integration it has. It's really fun.
Is that like Fitbit? Because when I play Pokemon Go, I still get the credit on Fitbit.
I honestly think it's more accurate than Fitbit. And I've read a lot of comparisons and things. They always are updating it with every OS, but...
Well, because, like you know, I'm still on the iPhone 6 Plus, and the big thing they added into that was they put, like, a Fitbit-type thing in it.
Yeah.
So, I know I'm
Same
getting credit.
Same with the 6S Plus.
Yeah.
Or 6S, what I have. But the watch will also monitor your heartbeat.
Mm.
And so, as you're walking, it will put it into your whole workout thing. So, every time your heart rate goes up, it counts as workout time.
I have the weirdest question about the watch.
What?
Does it work with if you own two iPhones? Can it sync to both? Or no, you have to pick one?
You have to pick one, but you can do two watches per phone. But pairing, I mean, it's like it takes like a minute.
I was just curious.
No, it's only because your data is stored on your phone and syncs to your watch because the watch doesn't have that big of a capacity. Hmm. But I mean, And if you get a series two, could you imagine, you know, swimming for your Pokemon walking? That would be pretty rad. But yeah, it was. I hadn't played a lot with it until this past week. And I was actually really, what's a good word? Delighted by how it worked. Very surprised, very delighted. It just really was, it made it a lot more fun for me because then I didn't have to stare at my phone while I was going walking. I could actually just leave it and go. And it was really fun. So it's like having your little device. What's it called?
The Pogo Plus.
Yeah. It's like having that, but more interactive. So, and then you get the little thumps on your wrist when it finds stuff.
Okay. Cute.
So that's cool. The whole haptic feedback. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's my mini review of Pokemon Go on the Apple Watch.
All right. There it is. All right. Moving on. Loki, how was your gaming week?
I played lots of Skyrim as usual. And then, of course, also played some Until Dawn Rush of Blood. Because I actually haven't played too much of that. I've been demonstrating it a lot for people, but I actually went and decided to play some of it myself, and that game is still a lot of fun. I really enjoy that game. But it's kind of funny, though, because, you know, like, everybody else that plays, you know, those games, like, the first time, they're, like, jumping and everything, and I'm just, like, fucking going to town, you know, killing shit with my guns. So, but I really do enjoy that game, and then I've also been getting lots of peer pressure to get Overwatch, so I don't know if I'm going to do that, though. It's not really on sale too much right now. It's like, what, 17% off or something like that on the PlayStation Store, but I don't know. People want me to play it. That's it.
That's it.
Oh, well, Pokemon Plus, or Pokemon Go, actually. I don't have the Plus yet, but I've been playing a little bit of Pokemon Go. Just mainly just enough to keep my streaks going each day. That's about it. Because, I mean, honestly, I'll turn on every once in a while. Usually if I need items, I'll go get that when I'm walking around Midtown. But to catch stuff, I just kind of look around to see if there's anything new. I got one that looks like a cow.
Oh, the milk tank or whatever it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this is like,
those are apparently pretty good. I don't have one yet.
So I have one of those. But, yeah, it's like the same shit all over the place. It's like, okay, well, shit, I've already got all those. Like, I don't want any more of that crow witch thing.
There's too many of those.
And they don't evolve. It's like, this Murkrow is fucking useless. Yeah, they're fucking useless.
They're only good to finally get the fucking dark trophy for catching dark types. That's what it's good for. That's it.
All right. Well, I guess I'll do that then. But, yeah, I don't know. I just recycle
it. And JD points out it will evolve in Gen 4. So,
oh, okay. Yeah. Let me just wait until 2020 for that, you know.
Save those candies.
See those candies, yeah.
All right.
I have to check my Demon Hunter right now.
Well, on Warcraft? Oh, yeah, because the whole app and all that.
The app is actually pretty nice.
No, yeah, the app.
Tell you what, I haven't really played it all this week. Ingress.
Mm-hmm. Me neither.
Because I'm finding very little point to do that anymore.
I've been burned out, too, and it's for me, it's the fact that there's no, like, the live event thing, like, really is, I know they're doing shards, but it's not exciting for me. I could give a shit about shards. The shard thing is too limited, I think.
And every time I hear shard, I just think of shart, and so it's just not.
It's appropriate. Know. It's appropriate. All right. My gaming week. So pretty much a lot of the same standbys. I've been streaming some of it on my Twitch channel, cheap plug, Rob Roberts on Twitch. Please follow me if you aren't already. I really appreciate it. I've been really trying to grow things over there on Twitch. And I've been doing more streaming. A lot of the old same standby stuff, Final Fantasy 14 and Overwatch, which I'm still continuing to play this week, which, by the way, Loki, act deft in chat over at live.vognetwork.com is practically screaming in caps, get Overwatch. Loki.
Yes, so, I know. Everyone wants me to get Overwatch. A lot of people, though, that I'm coworkers with, they play on PC. So it's not, you know, my PC's not, I don't think it's good enough to run Overwatch.
You might want
to
check. Sometimes Blizzard's pretty good about, you know, making sure
I need
everybody
a new PC anyways. I've been looking at getting either a new laptop or a new desktop. But the laptops, you know, are pretty decent for the price. And now they have the new Ryzen chips that came out, which look pretty nice. So I'm like,
My out-of-date monster will run Overwatch. So
this probably will. I just am, I don't know.
It's fun. Look out.
I would use controller, though, and I guess I would lose it against keyboard mouse, right?
Probably. Unless, well, play a character like Torbjorn or Symmetra where you can set up, like, turrets and robots to do the things for you. That might help.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I've been playing some Overwatch. Then let's see. I was continuing to play Skyrim HD, which I talked about a little bit last week. I was playing that a little more on Xbox One and still really enjoy the graphics. Like, I'm like, okay, wow, this game really does look good. You know, it makes me very excited for Elder Scrolls 6, which I hope they announce sooner rather than later. Even though I think it's going to be a Fallout game this year, like a New Vegas 2 or something.
Another one? But they just did Fallout 4.
Fallout New Vegas 2 or whatever it is, I think is what the rumors say for this year.
No.
We'll see. We'll see. Anyway, other than that, I did download a few new things. I did not realize this was on PlayStation 4, but I think it just came out recently, Dear Esther, which was Chinese Room's game that they did before. It was like one of their first games. It was the Half-Life mod that then was a spinoff game before they did Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, which, you know, I love that game. So the fact that it was only like, because they're doing a big sale on PlayStation right now, so it's only like $4 or $5 for Dear Esther, even though I think it's new on PlayStation 4. It's not a new game at all. It's been out for like 10 years. But I'd never played it, so I wanted to get in there and play it. And I didn't get super far in it, so I'm not ready to like talk about the story or anything yet, but it is really pretty. I mean, again, the fact that it's on PlayStation 4, like, you know, walking on these barren cliffs by the ocean in this gray, very dreary setting, it does look gorgeous for what it's worth. So I had fun with that. And then another game I downloaded, which I played a little more of, which I did enjoy, was this little game called Enter the Gungeon, which I played a little bit of, Loki. Did you see that when I was playing
that?
Yeah. So that was fun. I liked that. Yeah. It's pretty much like a roguelike, I guess.
Yeah.
But with guns. And yes, you do. You go through the dungeon, you find stronger guns to take on more bosses and find more guns. So,
bosses based off guns.
Yes. So I didn't play a lot, but I played enough. I played through the tutorial, then I was playing the beginning stage a little bit. I got through at least the first floor and beat one of the bosses. It was this big bird looking thing where when I killed them, all the other birds came in and ate it. Which is kind of weird, but that's what it was. So yeah, I was having fun with that, and I didn't realize in the theme song to Enter the Gungeon, they actually have a whole custom thing where they're actually like singing about the Gungeon. So that was a nice touch.
Yeah,
props to them. So I was enjoying that. So that was pretty much my game of week. So all right, I was getting to housekeeping here, but there's not a lot to tell you besides please follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/OLR. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/OrangeLoungeRadio, and I do want to mention on Twitch TV. We not only have our own channel on Twitch at Orange Lounge Radio, which we haven't really been using a lot of recently, admittedly, but we are trying to build up the presence for VOG Network over on Twitch. If you do follow VOG Network over on Twitch, several of the hosts that do things here at VOG Network, we auto-host their feeds. And at a later time, we're hoping to bring you some content original to the Twitch feed of VOG Network as well. So check that out. We were talking about that a little bit on last week's show, and then Bobby went in and like, figured out how to get back in there and made sure it was up and running this week. So he did all that. So thanks, Bobby. So check that out. Let's get into some gaming news. Lots more to cover, right, Loki?
Yep. And as I was talking about my gaming week this week, I, of course, played lots of the PlayStation VR. And apparently it's selling pretty well as well. So they have revealed that as of February 19th, they've sold about 915,000 units. So they're actually expected to hit their estimate of about 1 million units by mid-April. Originally, they were forecasting 2.6 million units, but of course, they lowered that down to 750,000, which they've already exceeded. So good for them. Apparently, that makes the PlayStation VR the highest-selling headset of the three main contenders, the Vive, Rift, and Gear VR as well. Or no, I'm sorry. It's actually of the Vive and the Rift, including the PlayStation VR. The Gear VR is actually, I think, sold a little bit better.
So hopefully this bodes well for Sony actually continuing to support it, because there was some of us worried that it could go down a path like the Vita.
I still think, just everybody show that stuff, they get really like wowed by it. So I still think it's just getting it in the people's faces, basically, to try it. And once they've tried it, I don't think I've ever had anyone go, oh, that's dumb. Or like, oh, this is never going to take off. It's always been like, holy shit, just amazing, that this is even a thing. And so it's just getting people to try it. And once they've tried it, then they pretty much, become evangelists for it.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys know, but I never did end up getting one because I opted to go for the PlayStation 4 Pro, which in retrospect, was probably the wrong decision, to be honest. But it's okay. It's okay. I own it. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I'd be using the PlayStation VR the whole time if I owned it.
Do you use it regularly? I don't use it. I mean, I have been recently using it more often. I haven't really been playing VR games in it, but I'm always, like, whenever they have sales and stuff, I'm always looking to see what games are on sale. And I do have some in my backlog that I've yet to play. And it's funny, actually, the other day, I was looking through my catalog of stuff. I'm like, man, I thought I had more games than this. And then I looked, I'm like, oh, wait, that's something that's been downloaded. And I'm like, 187 games. Holy shit. My PlayStation library is looking just like my Steam library. But yeah, there's like, I'm like, oh, I bought Need for Speed and Dragon Age Inquisition. When the fuck did that happen? Just silly stuff. But yeah, I mean, Resident Evil. I mean, I not really a game I would play, but I definitely want to try it in VR.
I played for just a little bit this week. I played Rez, the new one that came out.
Yeah.
Reimagining for the second time or whatever, but I don't have PlayStation VR. I've just been playing it on the TV, yeah. And I still love it. And I have been kind of thinking like, oh, I do kind of, if I had a VR thing, I would like to play this, but God, so many cords everywhere. That it's VR that headset.
No,
my house is already a mess.
It's like one set of cords. I mean, really, because you just have the one that combines the, you know, the HDMI and whatever that other thing. So it's basically just that, and then everything plugs into it. I mean, yeah, you can kind of twist it up and stuff, but just don't be stupid. Don't spin around circles like my son does.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, the PSVR has almost sold as much as Eye of Judgment.
No, Eye of Judgment will never sell that.
Yeah, the Eye of Judgment is dead. It's gone. Yes.
That bet is never happening. The bet happened, but they
stopped making them. It's over.
It's over,
They didn't make a million of them. Unless you could always hope. Now, here's what you have to do. Here's what y'all have to hope for if you want Loki in the Tingle outfit. You need, and for those that are newer to OLR and don't understand what this joke is, when the Eye of Judgment, the PlayStation 3 thing. The PlayStation Eye was first announced. And there was this game that they were doing with a game.
It was an augmented reality card game. Yes. And it was dumb because you played an actual card game and all it did was, you know, change the graphics on the TV, and it was like wasn't it expensive too? Like,
yeah, it was just not a very well thought out idea. Like, and I mean, I'm sure
we went and saw the demo at E3, and I was just like, I don't see the point. I'm sorry,
somebody didn't really think this through. Like, somebody was like, we just want to make it because it's cool.
It's you know, the Ryan Reynolds picture, but why?
but you jump to conclusions, but why? So anyway, the whole bet was that if they would sell, and Loki was like, it's never going to sell, it's never going to sell. So I don't even know how it happened, but Loki made a bet and said, look, if the Eye of Judgment sells a million copies, I will come to the show dressed as Tingle from the Legend of Zelda singles, from the Legend of Zelda series, and talk like Tingle. I don't know what the hell the thing was. But at the time, we were on camera. We were on Justin TV at the time. And so you would do your little dance on camera or whatever, and we'd all have a good laugh. But you knew in the back of your mind, that's never going to fucking happen.
No, it's never going to happen.
It was a safe bet.
It's garbage.
So here's what y'all need to hope for if you want Loki to ever dress up as Tingle, which just isn't going to happen at this point. Sony does this sometimes. Sony has to go back and reclaim the name for a new piece of technology because Sony does this, right? Sony said they do with the PlayStation, their online magazine thing. They reclaim the name or something. So sometimes Sony will reclaim names and use them for other things. So maybe they'll bring back Eye of Judgment and it's like a new game or it's a new something, like something in virtual reality, and it's fucking awesome and sells 10 million copies. Now we can sit here and say, Loki, Eye of Judgment sold a million copies.
It's not the same Eye of Judgment, though. Because someone can make a game called the Eye of Judgment, like a free-to-play game, or like, I don't know, like a one-penny game, and they sell it and say, ha-ha, see, they sold a million copies.
No, but the bet was Sony has to sell a million copies of the Eye of Judgment.
Okay.
Well, all right. Anyhow.
Not going to happen.
Let's see. Bobby Blackwolf pointing out, Loki did dress up as Tingle in a video game, though. That's right. And I think all these years later, I'm saying, Bobby was very protective of the secrets in the beginning, but I think I'm safe to tell you, if you never found Loki and Flappy Vog as Tingle, it's in there, and you need to play more. That's, I'll leave you with that. If Bobby wants to just yell it in chat how to unlock it, then go for it. But I think if you play enough of Loki in Flappy Vog, eventually you'll get Loki as Tingle.
Yes, it was an embarrassing part of my life.
But it's hilarious, actually, if you play it.
I recorded that in my car off my laptop in the rain in the parking lot of my work because there was no quiet place to make those noises at my place of employment without... embarrassing myself.
He does the voices, you guys. It's worth revisiting Flappy Vog this week and checking that out if you never saw that. All right, anyway, let's move on.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, inch.
Act Deft in chat points out, it was kind of random. All right. Anyway, let's talk about, speaking of random, Final Fantasy 15 has been getting updates here and there, and they finally released, a booster pack this week? Patch 1.05 released this week, which supports this new booster pack, which has some items for fishing.
All I know is it tried to download the update on my system. It's like, sorry, you don't have enough hard drive space for that.
Oh, gosh. Is it really that big of a...
I don't know. Must have been.
Wow. Okay. There is a new level cap for your characters. You can go up to 125 in levels. You can also store 200 Prompto pictures now. And there's also an MP3 player for Noctis when you are riding on a Chocobo, which you didn't have before. But also, the 1.05 update is the long-awaited PlayStation 4 patch, which will allow the frame rate to go up to a maximum of 60 frames a second on a PlayStation Pro. I'm a PlayStation 4 Pro owner, and let me tell you, I haven't noticed a difference playing Final Fantasy 15 under this new patch. Granted, I didn't do a lot, but what I did play, I didn't notice a difference. So... good job on that investment, Rob. PlayStation 4 Pro. Anyway, some users out there on the internet noticing that some of the frame rates is in the transition between different frame rates is pretty jarring. So I guess maybe I'm not playing in the right mode. Do I need to actually go into the high mode? That's why I'm not didn't do right. So maybe I'll go back and tinker with that a little bit just to see if I can get the game to look even prettier, but. It looked good enough for what it's worth. Anyway, I guess Nier playlists were added to the game, too. Like in the car, as you're driving around, you can actually listen to the soundtracks to Nier if you want to hear that.
Cool.
Sure, cool. All right. How about the DLC with Gladio and all that stuff? That's what I'm really waiting for.
Cup noodle.
What's that?
Cup noodle.
My cup noodle hat. Where's that? Can't wait for that. Moving on. Dark Sakura. What do you have for us?
I have stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Very sad stuff. A moment of silence, if you will. Alan Stone, who was the co-founder of Nintendo of America, died. It was reported on February 23rd. He died at 71 from cancer. 71 is still a decent run, but still, you know, with current lifespans, that is a little short still. He was one of the people behind getting, the original Mario Brothers and Donkey Kong to be as popular as it was over here. And so we actually, I would even say, owe the resurgence of video gaming in America to him. So,
oh, sure.
R.I.P.
People probably don't remember that, you know, there was a lot of stores out there that were really tepid on stocking Nintendo and Sega after the huge video game crash. And, you know, Nintendo of America had to work very hard to make Nintendo a success in this country, which they did. So, yeah, I think we owe a lot to, what Alan Stone did and fuck cancer, et cetera.
Indeed.
So, it's also, so I don't know, was he still involved with Nintendo in later years or probably not?
Probably not so much.
Okay, because I was going to say, it really kind of sucks, you know, here we are a week before the Switch releases. I'm pretty sure he would have been excited to see that, but he probably had moved on from Nintendo later in his career as, you know, people come and go from jobs all the time in different companies. So, but anyway, a tip of the hat there for Alan Stone, and thank you for everything you did to set up Nintendo in America. Loki, let's change the subject. Something a little brighter, please.
Yes, definitely a little bit brighter because we're going to be talking about Sunset Overdrive, and that was a pretty bright game.
Yes, it was. It was a very fluorescent game.
So, it didn't do as well as Microsoft had hoped, but they're saying that they still may continue on even without Microsoft. So, you know, basically, you know, the president of Insomniac, Ted Price, said that while there hasn't been any movement on a sequel, you'd, you know, have asked Microsoft about that. But we're passionate about the franchise and we own it, so you may see more Sunset in the future from us. No promises and no timeline to speak of, but it's something that represents our willingness to create unexpected experiences. And, of course, they're working on the new Spider-Man right now. I would be totally down for a cross-platform Sunset Overdrive game, or, hey, Sony exclusive Sunset Overdrive game.
Yeah, I know people that really enjoyed Sunset Overdrive. I didn't get into it enough. I kind of tried to play it, but I really didn't get into it the way I think a lot of people did. But I know there's a lot of people who would be very happy to see them kind of continue it, because I don't think it sold to the expectations that Microsoft had. I mean, Microsoft gave it away during one of those games with gold promotions at one point. So, you know, I don't think it quite had the sales that they'd hoped for.
But yet, Knack still hasn't been given away yet.
That's, you know what? That's a good point. And Knack is getting a sequel. You know what? That's a darn good point. So if Knack can get a fucking sequel, why can't Sunset Overdrive get a sequel? All right. That's well put, Loki. Well put. All right. Let's move on. I know a lot of you are fans of Jim Sterling over on YouTube. You're one of them, right, Loki?
Yes,
I am. You like to watch this. Well, you're probably happy to hear this.
I'm very aware of the situation, yeah.
So you probably know more about this than I do. Apparently what happened, the case dismissed this week with Jim Sterling fighting with Digital Homicide. This was where Digital Homicide had basically come out and said that he basically was slander? Was that what it was about?
It was a whole bunch of stuff. So he had done he does a series called Best of Steam Greenlight, where he'll show off games that are just garbage.
Yeah.
And he'll make fun of them. And then he also does, you know, a Let's Play series that he does with different games like that. And one of the games he showed was The Slaughtering Grounds, which was this very basic first-person shooter game that used a bunch of pre-bought assets from the Unity store and didn't really do anything. And so he just, you know, called it an asset flip. And so then James Romaine, who was part of Digital Homicide, came out with a video slamming him on his review of the game, to which, you know, he's like, this isn't a review, it's a Let's Play. And then so he decided to do a review of a review and did that. And I think it even went another step further, but it came down to they're saying that he, you know, was slandering them and he caused them financial harm, and they were trying to sue him for $10 million.
When in reality, he probably brought more publicity to their game,
than
they would have had otherwise.
I mean, these guys weren't exactly right in the head, anyways. I mean, and he
allegedly, don't sue us.
He, you know, also did an interview with him and stuff, and it was just cringy, but. So, to make a long story short, they pursued him, sued him, and he got it dismissed with prejudice. So he's, free to do whatever on this. He's supposed to make a video about it on Monday, actually, regarding this dismissal. But yeah, I mean, these are the same guys that try to sue Steam reviews, sue people to find, out who's leaving bad reviews on their games so they can go after them monetarily. And then Steam, of course, pulled their games off of.
Well, here's the thing that I think kind of sucks about this is that, there's the whole, you can read the motion for dismissal. It's all public and online. Both parties have to bear their own attorney and filing fees. So that means Jim Sterling still had to pay for the attorney and the filing, yeah. Which he shouldn't have to do that.
No, he shouldn't.
The other party should have to pay for that.
Here's the thing. The reason,
the thought
of it is that it was more of Jim Sterling being nice about it, because he could have pursued it further to get those attorney fees, but he's just kind of fuck this.
Writing
I just want
it
to
off
be done
with
them. Yeah,
using the YouTube ad revenue from the videos about it to pay for it.
Maybe. It's just he just wants to be done with them, I think, because he had a strong case to where he could have gotten damages from them, but it's more of just let's just forget about it. Let's just leave it, and I'm just going to still make fun of you, but there's not much you can do about it. So, basically now they just said any time that they're not allowed to, file complaints regarding this. Of course, if they do file any additional complaints not documented in there, they have to make sure that they're considering fair use and some other thing. I don't remember the exact wording of it, but yeah, I mean, that's kind of what's been going on. It's been going on for a few months now, I think.
Jeez. All right. Wow. I think this is interesting, too. I didn't realize this. In order to file the lawsuit in Arizona, the guy contributed to the Patreon $1 a month to say that he does business in Arizona in order to file the lawsuit there.
Yeah.
That's clever.
It's shady shit. Yeah.
That is shady as fuck.
Yeah. Well, be careful if you set up one of those Patreons, because I know a lot of people are setting those up. But that there's another great reason why OLR hasn't exactly jumped in on Patreon yet, you know, is legal things like that. You know, so anyway, because I don't have the fucking money to pay a lawyer. Like, anyway. Ugh. Let's move on. Yes, people need to just stop suing everybody.
Y'all need Jesus.
Things. Yeah, y'all need Jesus or whatever.
Y'all need a lobotomy.
Moving on. Y'all need to go outside, right, Darsyra?
Yeah, go outside and play some Pokemon Go. Well, as we know or may have known and forgotten or did not give a shit about, Pokemon's 21st anniversary is coming up. So Niantic is doing an event from February 26th until March 6th for the anniversary. It's going to be Pokemon Day, or in that case, Pokemon Week, where you can catch a special Pikachu. He will be wearing a party hat, just like the Santa Pikachus.
Yay.
And so I am going to be going on a Pikachu hunt. I'm just going to hang out in the park by your house and hunt Pikachu.
Yeah, I'll have to get one of those so I can have all the different Pikachu hats. It's all about hats.
I have both the Christmas Pikachu and Raichu, and I want the party hat Pikachu and Raichu. It didn't say if Raichu's there, but I would assume Raichu would, so.
Yeah, if it's like the Santa hats, then you should be able to evolve a Pikachu with a party hat and get a Raichu with a party hat.
Party Chew. But that's really it.
I'm excited to catch a Party Chew. Will they spawn more Pikachus so you have a better chance to catch them? Or are you going to have to find...
I don't see anything about that.
Well, here's a pro tip. There is some Pikachu nests up in Sacramento, so you just have to look at Silph Road where to go.
I missed my Porygon chance.
You did miss your Porygon chance. They were all over during the Valentine's Day event.
Well, I'll just do it next year.
Yeah, that's what they all say. All right. JD is saying in his best Adore Delano voice, party.
Party.
Anyway. Loki, what do you have for us before we get to the classic game of the week?
So apparently now you have the ability through Twitch to change your name. Now, changing your username also, not only does it change your name that everyone can view it, it also changes your channel's URL. Of course, they're saying that your old URL won't redirect to the new one, and then you can use that feature once every 60 days. And of course, you can only change to a name that's available.
I never realized that you could not change your Twitch name. This seems like one of those like really obvious things that I wonder why it wasn't in place before. But okay.
I know in the past like certain things have been like tied to actual names on the accounts instead of like an account number or account internal thing. And so, you know, if they, you know, made that change where they assigned account numbers to everything, then they could do that.
Maybe that's
'cause that was like, I think Sony, what can you change your name on the PlayStation now?
No, and that's a very that's a thing that some
but I
people
thought that was something
with.
That they're working on. So I think that's the same process though. Is they have to assign it basically your account a number, and then once they have everybody to a number, they can go and allow you to change those names.
All right. So if I want to change my name to Mob Mobberts, I can do that now.
Yes.
Emerson Mob Mobberts.
As long as it's not taken.
All right, as long as it's not already taken. Don't take it, or I'll sue you like that guy. All right, let's talk about this before we get into the classic game of the week, and it has to do with Unity. The Unity game engine is being used for more than just games, you know? There's other things that are using it. In fact, there's a brand new French animation show called Mr. Carton that is now the first cartoon TV series made in Unity. So now you can make a television cartoon in Unity, which makes me think, how easy would it be to port that cartoon to other devices through Unity? And which also makes me think, remember when the 3DS was going to get movies? Whatever happened to that?
Yeah, that never happened.
What happened to Tron or Tangled in 3D on the DS? What happened to that? Instead, we got Dinosaur Office.
Tekken. The Tekken movie was in...
Was the Tekken movie?
Yeah, because I think if there was a version of Tekken on... the 3DS that actually had that movie bundled with it. I was going to say, this is something that they've been pushing with Unity because they had that whole tech demo. I think it was, I don't know if it was just for Unity 5 or 5.5 or whatever the version of Unity it was, but they had like this big cinematic thing that they put out and they were saying, yeah, you could use it for like making movies.
Yeah, Mr. Carton has a 13-episode season that is premiering on France Televisions this week. There's also, I guess, 6 episodes have already aired, and you can actually go check it out on YouTube if you want. They're just short little 2-minute adventures. So, and I guess the language barrier doesn't really prevent you from enjoying it because the cartoon doesn't say much. So you can still kind of enjoy it there. I didn't watch it myself, to be honest, but maybe I will, knowing that I don't need to know a lot of French to be able to understand it. The creator of Mr. Carton found Unity to be very suitable for the process, saying that sequencing was a lot less challenging in Unity than it is with more traditional methods. Storyboarding and mastering were handled with other applications, but set building, lighting, rendering, and so forth was done with Unity. So that's pretty cool.
Yep.
Yeah. Neat. A cartoon all out of Unity. All right. Let's go back to a simpler time when you couldn't just program your own game. You can just create any game you wanted. Unless it was like Pinball Construction Set or something. It's the classic game of the week where Dark Soccer is going to step into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you brat. Enough with your newfangled Switches and Zeldas.
I'll show you a Switch.
Nipple clips.
You'll go out to the yard and pick your own. Which is psychological warfare, believe me.
Dark Sakura, what is the classic game of the week that the kids should be reading about and playing?
The game is Crazy Chase, or as we had it in the U.S., Casey's Crazy Chase. Who remembers when I did Casey Munchkin a while back?
Not me. No, actually, I thought you had already done this game because you did do Casey Munchkin.
Casey Munchkin.
And I forgot they were different games.
I have to talk about a little slight bit because there was a big... Casey Munchkin was sued... Well, I'd say Philips was sued by Atari. Philips Magnavox. Because Casey... while they didn't advertise that Casey Munchkin was like Pac-Man, in fact, they were very clear not to say it, so many other people drew the comparison and were advertising it that way in catalogs, even though they said don't do it, that they got sued by Atari, because Atari at that point had the home license for Pac-Man. They... Magnavox won the first suit, but Atari appealed and won the second court case. So that's that whole drama in a nutshell. Casey Crazy Chase was a sequel and a response. And of course, anything that has the KC name in it comes from the Philips Electronics CEO, president at the time, Casey Menken. So... there you go. But this game is a sequel to Casey Munchkin. In this game, it is still a map game, and it actually does have a lot of the features of Casey Munchkin. It came out in the UK on the Philips Video Pack, and in North America on the Magnavox Odyssey 2. But this game, it has a twist on the whole thing. So in Casey Munchkin, you had Drats, were the little monsters living in the maze. And, you know, your little guy would walk around and eat them and eat dots and stuff. You know, kind of, yeah, Pac-Man-y. Casey Crazy Chase, though, had the same plethora of mazes in the level editor, but it just changed everything up. So you didn't have the dots and power pellet lookalikes, you know, at all. And instead, you had the Drats, who were the monsters, who would walk around growing trees. And you could go around and eat the trees, but you only got 1 point per tree. Your main objective was the Dratapillar. The Dratapillar, I would say, bears more than a striking resemblance to Centipede in its kind of ball-shaped body.
So I'm going to call Loki in the future the Dratapillar.
The Dratapillar. And anyway, the way that you solve the levels and get points, the big points, are by going around and eating the Dratapillar's body. Now, first of all, I love, like, the little munchkin guy in here, because he just freaking rolls around all over the place and grins. And when he wins, he kind of smirks and winks at you like they do like a half smile. It's just funny and clever. But anyway, the Dratapillar's head will totally kill you. So you have to go and you have to chase behind it and eat its body. And so when you have eaten all of its body, you can also eat pieces in the middle too, but it leaves those body parts there.
The Dratapillar will totally kill you, and you have to eat its body.
It's kind of morbid, isn't it?
Coming up next on Casey Munchkin.
But yeah, you can actually even just cut the segment by its head off by eating it, and which leaves
what
the
kind
rest
of fucked
the
up things
there.
Are we teaching children?
It's the 80s, Rob. No one cared. So when you eat a segment of the Dratapillar, it actually turns the drats white. So you can stun them. And what's kind of funny is, like, it's like in those old cartoons, you know, where the Roadrunner would run by the coyote and he'd be spinning in the middle of the road. That's kind of what it does. It's pretty cool. And you get 10 points for stunning them. So that's, you know, different ways to score, you know, bigger points in the game. But of course, every time you eat a piece of the Dratapillar's body, it speeds up. So you just have to pretty much be fast, think quickly, and you know, run through it. Now, one of the other things about this, though, is that it supported the Odyssey 2's voice add-on module, which basically it would hum like background music through the game, and then you'd get like "oh no" when you die, or laughter, or different things. And of course, with this game, you get one life. So, but it's a neat little game. You know, it was definitely a unique twist on the maze game genre, and one of the better games that came out for the Odyssey 2. I spent a lot of time as a kid. Well, at the time, I had a ColecoVision. I take that back. This is a house before that. I didn't have a video game system. We had the neighbor's Odyssey 2. I have one now, and I eventually got one later. But I spent so much time on this one, and what was that other fucking game that had the board game? I don't remember. I'll remember it when I'm totally not thinking about this. I think I've even done it for a segment too, so my brain's kind of too much coding.
All right, well, there it is.
But yeah, Casey's Crazy Chase, also known as just Crazy Chase elsewhere.
One way or another, it's Casey's Crazy beep,
beep,
Chase.
Beep, bloop, beep, bloop.
Your classic game of the week.
Beep, beep, bloop.
You only get one life.
And you have to eat
and
the
you
body
better, you better
before
not
the
let
head kills you.
That Dratapillar fuck you up. And you better eat its body. And then once you've devoured that Dratapillar, you're going to smile and wink and nod.
Well, did you see when...
I did. I was watching the
video. It was fucking hilarious.
Very rudimentary little Atari 2600, excuse me, Odyssey level graphics of a little winking face. Like, I just ate his entire body.
Like, hey, Atari, wink. Fuck
time,
you.
Next time, I'm going to eat you from the inside out.
Just want to think of your centipede. Meow, meow, meow. He's a Dratapillar now. Rom, 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 rom. Deep, I mean, bleep, 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 bleep.
And Stoppy is helping you out. Quest for the Rings.
That was it. Thank you.
Was the board game.
I was like, it was something rings, but not, you
And
know.
You have done that as a classic game before.
I have. But we, you know, we had, like, it was the full thing. We just said, fuck the board game. We just play the game.
Quest for the Rings. I mean, I remember that was a pretty, like, for what it was, an old-ass game. That was a pretty rich, like, pretty big game. You know what I mean? Like, the things that it did going into the different rooms and stuff
but
was
we were
for
just
games
like
of that time.
First graders that didn't give a shit.
Yeah, I know.
For second grade, we're like, whatever, we're just going to play the game.
It's like, you don't even know what you're
doing.
The
other thing I was really good at, though, was Cryptoquip. I think that was what it was called. It's the word scramble game.
Yeah.
But I was always really good at those, so whatever.
Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Okay, that's it.
The word is Dratapillar.
Dratapillar.
We're
going
to
take... You know what? I say now that if anyone is a shit in chat, they're the Dratapillar, and will eat their bodies and leave the head.
That's kind of weird.
Poisonous little heads.
That's very weird. You're weird. Stop being weird.
You know what?
What?
So are you. You hang out with me. What does that say
when
about
I'm,
you?
When I'm forced to.
Bitch.
All right. We're going to take a quick break.
Hey, Rob.
What?
Rob, 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 Rob,
what? Let me do a goddamn
no,
break.
Rob.
What? plenty more of this to come when we come back with more of Orange Lounge Radio right after this. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with the 677th episode of our show, already in progress. I'm here, Loki's here, Dark Soccer is here, and you're here. Thanks for listening to us, be it live during the Oscar ceremonies, which I know has been distracting for some people. I have not even been paying attention. I did see some of the pictures of people on the red carpet, though, and I got to say, even though I don't usually get into all that fashion stuff outside of like Project Runway.
I'm waiting for the fashion photo review version.
The fashion photo review or whatever. Some of the people on the red carpet look really good, I got to say. There's been some really good outfits on the red carpet. Did you see what Janelle Monáe was wearing?
No, was it a suit?
No, it was not. It was very much like a triangular dress type of thing. She looked like she could have been a boss in Final Fantasy. Like, it was great.
What?
It was great. Yeah, go look some of these dresses up. Look amazing on the runway. I want to ask you guys about this before we got into rapid fire news. Before the show, one of our listeners, Tiger Claw, sent me a link, and I thought this was an interesting thing to talk about. Since we do like to do classic games, right, and you know, play old games sometimes, and it was, sometimes we have to rely on emulation to provide those games that you know might not be accessible otherwise. And that happened to a Super Nintendo game this past week. Quick the Thunder Rabbit was a platformer for the Super Nintendo that was never released. It was a port, I guess, of an Amiga title.
Oh my god. They never.
Oh, did you find the picture?
Yeah, she's got like the whole French Revolution, 18th century French dress.
Yeah, it's great.
The hip bustle.
It's great. Anyway, can I talk about the Thunder Rabbit, please? All right.
I guess.
Don't talk about our competition tonight. Janelle Monáe, she's talented, but she's our competition, Dark Sakura. Stop talking about her. Anyway, so Quick the Thunder Rabbit on Super Nintendo was a port of an Amiga title, and I guess it was a platformer, and then it would be like one of those auto-scrolling shooter games and fighting games and what have you. So somebody actually found a copy of this game, this user online, but he altered the game when he released it. He edited in a splash screen to the start of the game, and then made some small alterations to the game's code, I'm assuming to make it run better or run more appropriately. Well, somebody on the forum where this was released, SNES Central, asked, in the interest of preservation, would it be possible to upload the unedited ROM image? And the answer was no. So some people feeling like this is that horrible, gigantic TMZ watermark on a popular photo, or it's like you own a very rare painting and you decide to paint your initials over it. Or what was that painting where somebody like repainted Jesus's face? This is a thing that was like in the news a couple years ago where some gal got a rare painting and she painted over the face or something. Like, it was horrible. Anyway, so some people are saying this like that. But it's funny because I'm kind of reminded of like back in the day on like games on Commodore 64 and like the older PC games, like the splash screens and the built-in trainers and all that shit was par for the course. You would see that everywhere. But at the same time, I also understand why. It's like, dude, this is not a common game by any means.
You have
the one copy, potentially. Give us the actual game.
It's kind of a dick move, but hey, at least you have a copy of the game now.
Yeah.
You can play. I mean, yeah, it sucks that there were some changes, but it's better than nothing.
I suppose it's better than nothing. Dark Sakura, you're big on classic games. Do you think this is defacing a classic painting, or they have the right to do this because they're the only people that have it?
I truly do believe that it is definitely doing an injustice to the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if it I understand wanting it out for preservation, at least in the sake of this, that having an unedited ROM of the game should be still distributed for that preservation purpose in its unadulterated form.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like, or how about like this? Let me put it this way. Imagine where they found all of those. You do the x-ray of the paintings to see the original painting underneath it, right?
Mm.
Like, for example, the beached whale that was in that one piece of artwork, or going into Van Gogh's work and finding that he's painted over other works. You know, it's kind of the same thing, whether or not it's done in what's the word I'm thinking of? Done
in good taste,
good
done out of respect. Try like good intentions.
Good intentions, or yeah. even if there had been malice behind it, there was no malice in this.
Right.
At the same time, it would still be a shame.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they would have had a problem if they just like fixed it to run or something like that, but. Like he put a
actually
splash screen.
No, actually, some people believe, and they're this story that Tiger Claw sent me went on into like an interview with some video game, and actually says even though this guy doesn't think he's doing harm because he's trying to make the game more playable, it actually still is a disservice because this is a piece of gaming's history. You know, he's not the guy who created the original game. I can see that perspective.
Here's another one, and this is going to be highly controversial, uh-huh. but I'm going to use something that's been a point of contention in religious circles. The writings of Josephus mm-hmm. have been altered ever since, were altered to say that, yes, he saw Jesus. The original writings never said that.
I see.
But
I see.
It's the same thing where it goes in and makes an alteration. It's revisionist history is what it is.
It's kind of like how you have the King James version of the Bible, right? Not to get too religious,
but that's also
one
historical.
Interpretation, right?
Not just that, it wasn't necessarily an interpretation of it. It was altered by picking certain items in translation and putting them into a way that politically benefited his regime.
I see.
And in this case, we don't know the reason that this guy did this, if it was as some type of reflection on himself or some way to hold power over the community. We don't know that.
Well, and my thought is maybe there's two answers here. Like, release the original cart the way it was done, if it's broken or whatever, and then go ahead and alter it, release the fixed one, and now put your initials on it because you did fix the game.
Stoppy has another good comparison. Hmm. The Diary of Anne Frank. Her father edited it to remove her talks about her puberty, sexuality, you know, different things
that young women go through. Sure.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's again, it's revisionist. It's in this case more of a patriarchal type of control, but still. But it's the same thing. I look at this as no different.
Dungeon Buster, with an interesting perspective, though, that I think is worth sharing over at live.vognetwork.com, says, on the other hand, a lot of the preserved games on sites like archive.org for old PCs, they open with cracked screens because they're the only ones available. That's it. Yeah, and kind of like I said, you know, even though a lot of us, you know, kind of see what's going on now as a negative, what this guy is doing was perfectly par for the course in the 80s and
it's
early
like
90s.
A B. It's not an A of just releasing it, but hey, you know what? It's working.
Wait, it's a B what? It's B movie? What is
no,
it?
No, like you're going to rate it on a scale, you know. I see. It's like a B, you know. It could have been better if you'd released it unaltered, but at least it's out there now.
Okay, it's like a B. I give it 3 stars out of 5.
3 out of 5.
All right, let's do some rapid fire news. Go around quickly and talk about some other things that have been happening in the game industry this week. Loki.
Speaking of something I would give 3 out of 5, Irrational Games, they've changed the name of their studio to Ghost Story Games.
Goatsy Games?
What? That's irrational.
Ghost Story Games.
Ghost Story Games.
I hope that you're only making spooky games. Their reasoning before it, they said, was because first...
It was irrational.
Because ghost stories are immersive, exciting, and steeped in the community. That reminds us of our mission. Really, it's just because you couldn't... You're like, ah, crap, we gotta come up with something, guys. Ghost stories?
I have a ghost story for you all. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Boo.
Boo. Who?
Don't cry.
I have a ghost story for you.
What?
The Phantom.
Of the opera?
No. The, what was that machine that we saw at E3?
Oh.
It turned out to be.
Okay, that's a good.
Where's my shade sound? Hello?
That was like a C+ joke. It was a little intellectual for this show.
The Coleco Chameleon Zero.
I give that joke a 2 out of 5.
You know what? If I were to roll my eyes any higher, I'd be looking at your backyard.
Actually, be looking at a sheet that
that's covering the backyard. Anyway, JD and Chad
y'all need
says,
help.
So that's a boot. Are we gonna toot it or boot it? All right, please move on.
All right, we'll keep moving on. So, hey, guess what? There's going to be some more games that are backwards compatible with the Xbox One.
Toot!
So, Assassin's Creed Rogue, Borderlands 2, which is also, I think, one of the games of the gold this month as well.
Nice.
And King of Fighters 2002 Unlimited Match are now backwards compatible.
That's cool.
Yeah. So,
yeah, especially with the fact that Borderlands 2, they're kind of giving away for free.
Exactly.
Because...
And if seriously, if you have not played Borderlands, my God, go play Borderlands. I mean, it's Borderlands 2 is fucking awesome.
Well, and then wasn't one of the big games on Xbox One early on, and PlayStation 4, to be fair, the Handsome Jack Collection or whatever
it was called? Yes, I have that in my library. Fucking haven't played it at all.
Okay, well, what's funny about that is that half that is Borderlands 2, but they went back and, what, HD-ified it?
I think
it
wasn't
right.
The Handsome Jack Collection, that was 1 and 2.
No. It's 2 and the whatever that...
Pre-sequel?
Pre-sequel, that one. It's not 1. Oh, 1 is not in the Handsome Jack Collection.
I haven't played pre-sequel yet, so that might be worth it. But, yeah. Once again, though, I'm getting into that groove where like I buy a bunch of shit I'm never going to play. It's as bad as like Steam. Except now I've kind of stopped that on Steam for the most part. For the most part.
Oh, YYR in chat says Space Invaders Infinity, Gene. That's one of the games that's backwards compatible now?
I didn't see it on the list.
Hell yeah, if that is one of them, YYR. Can you confirm that?
If it is, it's not in this release, but...
That was a great game on 360, and I love when those games I bought on 360 just randomly show up on my Xbox One day. There we go. Going back to the very opening moments of the show. Things Microsoft is doing right. Backwards compatibility.
Exactly.
At least better than anybody else
Isn't
right now.
Isn't that great that purchases you made on a previous system roll over to a newer system?
Isn't that something?
Wow. That's so crazy. It's as if, you know, like with Nintendo, where Virtual Console has persisted with the Wii and the Wii U and now eventually on the Switch, as if somehow they would have some sort of record that you made those purchases, if only they had the forethought to do that.
Too bad
that other companies don't have a unified marketplace like that, like Sony. Oh, wait, Sony. Yeah, Sony.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, too bad we can't bring those over. Yeah,
that's
right, backwards
streaming.
The PlayStation Pro is just not strong enough to just, emulate something
right.
that PSP can emulate.
PSP can do, yeah. I know. Anyway... YYR says the full list is Borderlands 2, Assassin's Creed Rogue, King of Fighters 2002, Gyromancer... Moondiver and Space Invaders Infinity Gene, which is funny because is Gyromancer that Square Enix puzzle game? Because I own that one too. So that
maybe.
And I had Moondiver, so I had like three of those games. I didn't even realize that. I haven't not fired up my Xbox One games library. Every time I've been firing that up recently, I've just been going right into Skyrim.
Ah, yes, I do see them on the list now that I actually go to the list. Oh, that's because this is the full, that is one extensive list there.
Oh, what, of all the 360?
Of all the games that are backwards compatible?
If you haven't checked your Xbox One in a while, like, go into your games library and just look, like, in your to download list. You might just find, like, surprise, you've got, like, 12 games that you bought on Xbox 360 that are now backwards compatible. That's happened to me quite a bit. I mean, they fucking got beat and groovy working on Xbox One backwards compatibility. Like, why did somebody waste their fucking breath even testing to see if that game loaded? Like, that's amazing. That is amazing.
That's dedication.
All right. Anyway. Hey, a follow-up to something we talked about last week in the case of the missing box of Super Nintendo games that went missing, I guess it was blamed for the
lost in transit.
Lost in transit, you know, is pretty quick to blame somebody stealing it at the post office, because let's be real, that's what would usually happen.
Yeah, it's
but nice. in the interest of fairness, and we should, you know, say, you know, everything's okay, nobody stole it, it was recovered. That's right.
Yay.
They did recover the Super Nintendo games valued at $10,000. Apparently what happened is they were found at a Atlanta, Georgia mail recovery center. So how about that? So Bobby was trying to get him redirected to his house. No, he didn't.
I'm looking nice to see what I have.
But anyway, so it was at the Atlanta, Georgia mail recovery center, so they were able to locate the package. Here's the interesting thing. Because this was going around on so many news outlets and everything, apparently it was giving the post office a bad rep, right? Because, you know, it was like a lot of us were jumping to conclusions about, oh, it was stolen. So
this guy was able to get through and actually get noticed. He was told, he says in his little statement on what happened, he told me straight up the reason he was contacting me was because of the news articles he'd encountered on the case. So thanks to the coverage, I had a strong contact within the U.S. Postal Service who passed me to his employee who opened the investigation and then found the package. So how about that, y'all? Angry gamers Rocks accomplished them, something. Yeah. Angry, Yay. Jaded fucking gamers accomplished something. Good job. 100 Nintendo Super Nintendo games for you.
That's more games than you'll find on the virtual console at launch for the Nintendo Switch.
I do think I have most of these.
I love it, Loki. Fuck off, but I love
Maybe
it.
Maybe that's lost somewhere in a one of those.
Check Atlanta, Georgia. Check Bobby's house.
Bobby, do you have virtual console?
Do you have virtual console in that basement? Is that where it went? Bobby Blackwolf in the conservatory with the computer hacking kit. All right. Hey, Steam prices are going up soon. Okay, just kidding. That would be the clickbait headline I would try to post on Facebook, but it's not as bad as it sounds because the Steam prices are not going up in the States. So if you do come across an article about Steam prices going up soon, here's what's really happening. Yes, sales tax is now included in the prices across new countries. There's new tax laws that are requiring sales tax be applied to digital goods and services in some new countries starting in March in Switzerland, South Korea, Japan, New Zealand, Iceland, South Africa, and India, April in Serbia, May in Taiwan, and July in Australia. So, for example, the tax in Australia is 10%. So in July, the price of Steam games will be 10% higher. It is going to pay for this tax. It's not like the U.S. where you get charged tax after the advertised price. In these countries, for whatever reason, the tax code is written is that the tax must be included in the advertised price. I guess that's like what buying flight tickets here in the U.S. now have to include all the other little taxes and things in them. So Steam is having
it's
to
all right,
do...
Australia. You're used to getting screwed over when it comes to pricing anyway, so I'm sure.
It's not nice.
It is not nice.
It's not nice. Just,
that's all right. Wait for the sales. All Wait right. for those sales.
All right, Dark Sakura, how about you? What do you have for us?
Something that makes me super happy. Well, a couple of things actually that make me super happy, and one of them is a huge fuck you, so I like that even better. This one is the first happy news. One of the favorite games of my household, actually a series I should say, are the Wonder Boy games that came out on Sega Master System. Well, now .emu has brought out a remastered version of Wonder Boy 3, The Dragon's Trap. And it's just going to be called Wonder Boy, The Dragon's Trap. That has a hand-drawn style. And but it's also got the music. And you can swap between the new hand-drawn style and the original style. So that's really awesome. There is a whole trailer up, and I would suggest that people check it out. It's really sweet. Next is something that I have to bask in this for a minute. Humble Bundle, which, by the way, I sent you a message on a bundle.
I actually knew about this bundle, and I'll tell the listeners about it, because it's the Humble Civilization Bundle. This isn't what Darkseid was going to talk about, but their newest bundle is the Humble Civilization Bundle. And if I remember right, off the top of my head, you can pay a dollar and get Civilization 3 and 4 for a dollar. You guys, if
Do
you
it,
don't own...
if you like it.
Now look, Civilization 3 is actually my least favorite in the entire series. I'm going to be honest. But Civ 4 is one of the best. So like, if you can't be bothered to pay $1 for Civilization 4, literally, I can't.
You have to also be a fan of those types of games.
For a dollar, you don't really have to be a fan.
Yeah, for a dollar, you really don't even have to be a fan. If you got a fixed income type of thing going on, look, I'm not going to berate you too bad. But look, seriously, if you have the room in your budget to forego a soda and buy the Civilization Humble Bundle instead, I would encourage you to do so. Thank you. As Dark Soccer takes a big swig of her Diet Pepsi that she probably paid $1.50 for at the store and says, I don't have time for Civ 4.
Actually, it tastes pretty awful.
That's not a Pepsi,
that's
blood water, okay?
Actually, it tastes like it, thanks to my nose, but still. But my good news.
Yes.
The Humble Freedom Bundle raised $6.73 million to aid immigrants in response to the new Voldemort's immigration ban.
Yes.
You know what? I don't even want to call him Voldemort because he's fucking orange.
Just say what happened. It's in response to what happened.
Angry orange.
I'm just going to call him the dump.
Angry orange.
I'm just
like going to
call him the dump.
Sure. Whatever.
Because he's a human garbage dump. Anyway, the proceeds are going to charities like the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, the International Rescue Committees, and Doctors Without Borders. Basically, it offered over $600 worth of games for $30, including some pretty big ones like The Witness. So, and they also said that they would match up to $300,000 of the proceeds. So, totally, that's up to $6.73 million.
They did. Some of the games finally started running out because I'm sure some of the game makers, you know, I think it's awesome that even the creator of like Stardew Valley, which is that game is hot shit right now in the indie scene and in the gaming scene in general. I think it's awesome that that guy would contribute 200,000 copies of his game to this cause. But the reality is, you know, he had set a number, and once they exceeded that number, those keys were gone. So in the final hours, I think once they broke, it was either 200,000 or 250,000. Sorry, I don't remember the number. But some of the games, like a good chunk of them kind of fell off the list. Like Stardew Valley, I know, is probably the biggest name that no longer became available at that point. But again, that's not a read because that's awesome that, you know, a game like that that's still hot shit getting $15 a copy is donated to a cause like this at all.
Even more, if you look at the number of keys that were available, think of how many people that was who gave a fuck you to the establishment.
Or just wanted to play some games.
But still.
Yeah.
It was a big fuck you. And I am so proud of them for doing this.
Or needs to bump up that number towards 600, you know.
Moving on. All right, that's it for our rapid fire news. So let's talk about what is coming out in stores this week. Loki, gee, what could possibly be coming out in the U.S. this Friday?
Horizon Zero Dawn on PlayStation 4.
That's right. That's a big deal, too.
That is a big deal. Torment, Tides of Numenera.
Isn't Horizon getting pretty good reviews, too?
It is. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I didn't have my eyes on it until I started to hear about some of these reviews. I don't always listen to reviewers, but when like the feedback is uniformly positive like it is for this game, or like majority positive like it is for this game, or like that movie that has like 100% of Rotten Tomatoes right now, that Get Out, like has 100% of Rotten Tomatoes right now, right? So that like definitely grabbed my attention, like, oh, maybe this is something I should be paying attention to and go see. So it's same thing kind of happens with video games.
Yeah. So we had a game called Torment, Tides of Numenera, and that's on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Constructor HD on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Musou Stars on PlayStation 4 and the Vita. And then, of course, a whole bunch of shit on the Nintendo Switch. So, of course, we have 1-2 Switch, I Am Setsuna, Just Dance 2017, Snipperclips, Human Resource Machine, Little Inferno, Skylanders Imaginators, The Binding of Isaac, Afterbirth Plus, Super Bomberman R, all those on the Switch, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild on the Switch and Wii U, World of Goo on the Switch, and that would be your lineup right there. World of Goo, yes, because that's not an old game.
Doesn't that game date back to the Nintendo Wii? I think it does.
Yes, it does, game. Actually.
It's an old game.
It's right. Like one of the first WiiWare games. Yes, back when it was called WiiWare.
All right, so moving on to Japan and checking out what's in Japan this week. Horizon Zero Dawn gets its release on March 2nd, as well as Winning Post 8 2017. Ironically enough, Loki, Borderlands, the Double Deluxe Collection, what they're calling it in Japan, is released.
Deluxe.
I think this might be a price reduction, though. I don't think this is the initial release of the game, but it's just funny that we were talking about it before.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's called the Double Deluxe Collection over there, with and it's very clear on the box. Borderlands the pre-sequel and Borderlands 2 are on that. And that is on the PlayStation 4 this week. Let's see, traveling over to the Vita. PlayStation Vita only has Winning Post 8 2017 this week. Otherwise, the Vita kind of has a week off, in what, which, believe it or not, yes, they usually have stuff going on in Japan. Nintendo 3DS has a release this week. It's a Doraemon game. Doraemon Nobita no Nankyoku Kachikochi Daibuken comes out this week, and it looks like some type of polar adventure for Doraemon, because all his friends, they're all wearing those big poofy, like Eskimo jackets type of things. That's what they're wearing.
I love Doraemon. He's so cute.
Well, then you can check that game out. And now in Japan, I get to talk about the Nintendo Switch, because the Nintendo Switch is also out this week in Japan. It is a region-free console, don't forget. So if you wanted to pick up one of these Japanese titles, you could. And these are the games releasing on the Nintendo Switch this week on March the 3rd. 1-2 Switch in Japan. Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild as well. You can also check out Dragon Quest Heroes 1 and 2 is a release that's available in Japan on the 3rd. And Super Bomberman R is available as well. Puyo Puyo Tetris, also releasing in Japan with launch. Makai Senkei Disgaea 5 is releasing as well. Ikene to Yoki no Setsuna, that's the I Am Setsuna releasing in Japan as well. And then there also, if that all is not enough for you, you can also get a variety of accessories and all that other good stuff that's also releasing with the Nintendo Switch this week. And did I mention Amiibo? That's right. You can get more Amiibo figures also released in Japan this week. So welcome to the release calendar, Nintendo Switch. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
Okay, so in the UK, we have on, what's today, the 20, yeah, so today, Stories Untold for PC, and then, or I guess for them it was yesterday, anyway, on the 20,
it's already tomorrow over there, but yes.
Yeah, on the 28th, Torment Tides of Numenera on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Mac, and PC, for all you people who say games don't come out on the Mac, fuck you. On March 1st, we have Horizon Zero Dawn coming out for the PlayStation 4. On the 2nd, what is the weekend? I can't even right now. Okay. On the 2nd, we have Snipper Clips and Super Bomberman R. On the 3rd, Human Resource Machine, I Am Setsuna, Little Inferno, World of Goo, and of course, the Switch itself.
Worldwide release, yo, for the Switch.
I'm going to go hide in my room and raid until Mass Effect Andromeda comes out.
Sounds like a plan, addict. All right.
Hey, you're the enabler, dealer.
Maybe. All right, let's go to the mailbag. Every week you guys send us emails. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com is where you can send us emails. And when those emails come in, Dark Sakura dives in the mailbag head first and reads your emails here live on air. So Dark Sakura is going to jump into the mailbag right now and pull out...
jack shit.
Ah, empty mailbag.
Not even a crusty poop.
Why would you say that?
Because I'm a little high on cough medicine right now.
Okay, I accept that excuse. Anyhow, there is no emails for Dark Sakura to read this week, and that makes her a sad panda. Actually, it probably doesn't, since she is still kind of sick. She probably appreciates you all giving her voice a break. I'm going to just assume you all knew. But for next week, you can email us. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. Guess we'll have to go back to some news, won't we, Loki?
Yep, and all the things old are new again, so... 343 Industries has promised, hey, guess what? We may have goofed with Halo 5 by taking out split-screen play, but that's not going to be a problem going forward. We're going to go ahead and make sure that's included in all future releases because it was incredibly painful for the community and us that we didn't include it in Halo 5. So that's pretty nice that it'll be available because, I mean, hey, that's a staple, so why not?
All right, so nice. I don't know. It's kind of one of those things where it's like I guess I was kind of past it at this point, but I'm excited, I guess, a little bit to see it coming back because my first introduction to the Halo series was a split screen Halo thing, a local area network. I'm sure I've told this story on the show many times before, but it was actually at a wedding reception. My friend had a Halo themed wedding, and they actually had Halo playable at the reception. And that was my first introduction to it, and it was awesome. And that was what really sold me on the original Xbox, if we go back to what we were talking about earlier in the show. So the split-screen stuff, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to hear it's coming back. I think that'll be a lot of fun. So, all right. Well, in news of That's Awkward this week, there was a... And where does all the awkward stuff happen? Live streams, right? So anyway, there was a live stream this week, which is captured forever thanks to YouTube, where I'm probably going to say this name wrong. I'm sorry. I just don't follow a lot of the streamer celebrities, really. But Kefri, I think, is the name of this streamer. He's an Overwatch player, plays a lot of competitive Overwatch, plays so much competitive Overwatch. He happens to be the highest ranked Widowmaker player in the world. And Widowmaker is one of those, as I call her when I'm playing the game, bitch snipers. Because when I get sniped from across the map, I tend to yell out, "That bitch sniper killed me." So, yeah. But I also do like playing Widowmaker a lot because sometimes it's really fun to be the bitch sniper. So anyway, Kefri is the highest ranked bitch sniper in the whole world. And this was interesting because what happened is that he was actually playing the stream and doing some ranked matches and came across somebody impersonating his gamer tag. So had the exact same name in the game, also playing Widowmaker, but as they were playing the match on Twitch, they discovered, oh, this guy is using an aim bot. He's cheating. Not even he's doing these shots you can't even do with a normal machine, basically. Guess what? The real player ended up winning anyway. So even when the guy was cheating, he couldn't beat the team. And what's really hilarious about this is, you know how like one of the big things in Overwatch that's pretty awesome is that you always get to see play of the game, right? Which has become this whole meme online, right? Mm-hmm. So guess who got play of the game? The real one. And he even typed in chat, I think at the end when all is said and done, he said, "Can't even beat me with hacks, bud."
You gotta love you gotta love that.
I usually that level of douchey snark, I'm like, I don't like that stuff in the competitive scene. But in this case, it is completely and utterly warranted. Fuck cheaters in online games. Fuck them with something hard and sandpapery. So this guy got what's coming to him, embarrassed on video. It's just a bummer we couldn't see what this guy's real gamer tag was. But in other words, if you're gonna go fake, then you're probably gonna get beat. Kaijudo in chat says, "Bleh, the cheating I don't agree with, but a screen name is a screen name. There can be 100 Kaijudos. I don't give a fuck." Yes and no. I get what you're saying. Like, certainly there's other people out there that must call themselves Sky, because I never get the name on websites, which I actually usually don't try to take that name anymore. I try to get Rob Roberts wherever I can. But I digress. The fact is that he's taking the name and playing Widowmaker and cheating while he's doing it, which could be giving the impression that when other people play against him, it's the real guy, even though it's a cheater. Does that make sense at all?
Yeah.
So maybe what Blizzard needs to do, and I think they actually do this, if you mouse over the gamertag or something, you get to see the numbers that are following the gamertag, so you can tell if it's the right one or not. I mean, I don't know if the professionals' numbers are out there for everybody to find, but I kind of think intent is a big part of it. And when you're using these cheating bots and so forth to play the same character that the hacker does with skill, even though apparently he's not skilled even with the hacking tool, I think that's kind of shitty. Like, that's the whole thing. When it's like impersonation with the intent to impersonate. If it's the fact that, oh, I've been using this name for years online too, well, then that I understand. Like, I think there's some, like, I think I went on Twitter to try to find, like, I want the name Rob Roberts on Twitter, and it belongs to a spam account. But when you search for that name, you get these other Rob Roberts that come up. And I think one is like a DJ in Australia or something. I can't be mad at that guy. That just happens to be his name, too. I'm mad that a spammer took the name Rob Roberts. But if this other DJ had the name, then I really couldn't be upset because, you know, it's his professional name, too, in a different way. So, anyway. All right, let's move on. Dark Sakura.
Well, we are losing one of the writers for Portal. Very, very sad, but necessary. I'm sure he thinks that it is. Eric Wolpaw, who has been with Valve since 2004, worked on Half-Life 2 Episode 1, both the Portal games, Left 4 Dead, has left the company. He didn't say anything about what's up next, but he was working with Double Fine on Psychonauts 2. So maybe it's to spend more time on that. Only can speculate. But good luck and go get him.
Yeah, hopefully he already finished the script for Portal 3 on his way out.
Val can't count to three.
I'm not going to hold my breath. We'll see. But, you know, well, these comings and goings happen, and series can still be strong. Casey Hudson left BioWare, and now Mass Effect's being done by other people. So, yeah. You know, which we won't really know if the story is still good until Mass Effect Andromeda's out and we get a chance to play it. But we're hopeful.
It looks pretty exciting. Did you see the voice list?
I did. And I also saw the Andromeda t-shirt that was on sale at GameStop when I was at the mall. So I was like, oh, the merchandise is out already.
Also listening to some of Natalie Dormer.
Mm.
I heard the little interview with her. That was pretty neat.
Yeah. So very excited for the game to come out. Yes. I can't wait to fuck all the aliens. All right. Moving on. Loki.
The question is Natalie Dormer one of the aliens that you can fuck? Because, you know.
She's the doctor.
Oh, is she the Chakwas replacement?
Yes, she is the Asari doctor.
Okay.
I don't need to know what the profession is. That's not really a
point. No, this is important because Dr. Chakwas is like, she's mom.
She is the den mother but of the Normandy.
She's very much like, you know, like Kathleen Turner. Like, you know, why don't you come into my office and we'll drink a glass of champagne. And
okay.
So, yeah, the doctor's a pretty big role, so.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about esports, I guess. So one thing is coming to TV pretty soon, and actually in the weirdest locations, I guess, the CW network. Yes, that's who you think of first when it comes to esports. They're going to be broadcasting, I guess, a tournament for H1Z1 King of the Kill. And so with that, along with the actual broadcast, which is supposed to air April 20th at 9 p.m. Eastern time, they're going to be doing also a five-part documentary series leading up to the tournament. And it's going to follow the pre-match preparations of Echo Fox, the professional esports team.
They got rid of Top Model for that? What the fuck?
I've actually watched a little bit of King of the Kill. It's actually pretty interesting. Since I'm sure that you guys are probably not familiar with it, it's basically like DayZ, but put into... it almost like gets a little bit like... not the Hunger Games. It's sort of like the Hunger Games, I guess. So basically, you're in this environment. You have, you know, you land, and you have to find your guns and stuff like that. And then there's like gas coming in as well, and it keeps making the arena smaller and smaller and smaller. So the way they're setting it up, they're going to have five-man teams, and there's 15 teams of five players. And then there's also supposed to be, I guess, another, you know, some open slots for individual people as well. But it's, you know, a lot of people that start off in the game. I don't know. It was entertaining while I watched it.
I'll have to check it out. Is this a regular thing on Twitch, I assume, that people are playing?
Yes, it's one of the bigger games that's on Twitch right now.
Okay, awesome. I'll have to check that out. I can take a break from Conan Exile streams and check that out.
So is that just all penis flailing?
Yes, never gets old. No, actually, that game's died down in popularity a lot. I think finally everybody's like, all right, it's a penis. We get it. So I think Conan Exile streams have died down a little bit in popularity.
Has Conan played Conan Exiles? Because
I don't know.
Because that would be pretty
cool. Well, he's going to have that series soon,
yes,
right? The Clueless Gamer or whatever he calls it series is going to be coming soon. Is that on the CW?
No, that would be probably on, was it TBS?
What the hell does CW? Oh, actually, CW has a lot of those serial shows now, right? Like
they have all the DC
Supernatural's
shit.
Fucking still going on.
And it's still awesome, CW, at least last time I watched.
All these years later. Yeah, all the DC shows are there. Supergirl's moving there, right? If it isn't already. I'm so far behind on all that stuff.
I don't know. I don't watch any TV.
I have to ask John from Critical Myth because he still follows all those shows, and they write some great reviews over at VOG Network, but I admittedly don't follow a lot of them. However, I will say this, and Dark Soccer, maybe this is something you know about this. I realize this has nothing to do with games, but it's very important. Okay, can somebody explain to me why Riverdale is so popular? Because it sounds kind of amazing. It's like when I first heard about Riverdale, I was like, oh, they're turning Archie from the comics into one of these shows. That's going to be a little ridiculous. But apparently it's like Archie, but like if all those characters were in Twin Peaks.
What?
That's what Riverdale is. Is it's like the dark version of Archie. And it's all the same people. Like Veronica, fucking Josie from Josie and the Pussycats is there too. Like it's, yeah, right? That's the same
thing.
Like,
is that like kind of like they decided like, you know, we're going to take
Batman
and make it dark.
Is that Happy Ever Happily Ever After or something like that? Or that was that that show that's with all the Disney?
Oh, Once Upon a Time.
Once Upon a Time, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Once Upon a Time, is that like Once Upon a Time but in the Archie universe now? Or?
Yes. Yeah, it's something right. like that. I don't know. But apparently, like, everybody I've seen on the Twitters and all this stuff, like Tumblr is eating that shit up. Like, there's GIFs everywhere and everything. So, I don't know. I feel like it's one of those shows I need to be seeing. Let's see. I'm looking in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Come on, Noel Gus says, Riverdale is pretty good. Brad from Pod Culture says, Supergirl is there. I follow all of them. Love Legends of Tomorrow.
I know they started putting some of that on Netflix, so...
I tried to see if Riverdale...
If I ever stop hating on DC, maybe I'll give them a chance one of these days, but no thanks.
Where can I watch Riverdale online? Because I would totally watch it, but it's not on Netflix. But new shows usually aren't. But Hulu, I've been using. I have a friend that I may or may not be borrowing their Hulu account so I can watch Golden Girls. And I tried to see... I was like, oh, maybe usually that type of stuff shows up there. But there's no Riverdale on Hulu either. But that's fine because I still have like 160 episodes of Golden Girls left to watch.
I'll take you a couple weekends.
It will take me a little while.
Hey, maybe by then, you know, the new season of Stranger Things will be out. So
maybe. Oh, there's a CW app that's apparently totally free. Can I get
sweet?
Like on PlayStation or Xbox?
I know that the Android TV, the Play Store has that, and I'm like, CW. What the hell do I need this for? So.
Maybe they have, because my fucking TV has apps. So maybe it's like a Samsung TV, because like Netflix is built into my TV. So maybe they have that. I'm going to look for that stuff. Rama says Comcast On Demand. I know I have that. Thank you. Thank you, Rama. I have Comcast On Demand. I never use it, but I will check out this show, because I'm very curious.
You have
curious.
A purpose now.
I know. I have a purpose now for Comcast On Demand. Yay. All right. Why, Dark Soccer, why are you telling people to fight you in chat? What are you doing?
Shots have been fired.
Why? What was fired? Because
Brad says that DC is better than Marvel for TV. Oh, but and I'm like, Marvel's better than DC for everything.
Brad's been saying that.
Fight me.
You two go back and forth on the DC and Marvel thing for forever.
I haven't watched really any of them, so I can't make a judgment at this point.
I think you and Brad need to do a podcast together called Fight Me, and it's just a DC Marvel wank fest every week.
But I don't even like DC enough to entertain that it might be good.
You're such a bitch and I love it.
I like Suicide Squad. Because you know what? It wasn't quite like they were in the comics. Actually, I'll tell you this right now. I have gone back to buying physical comic books again because of one fucking series. Mm-hmm. I now have a new series of Jessica Jones in comics, just focused on her. In the actual comic universe and not the TV universe. And it's perfect.
Here's the thing, Dark Soccer, and I know you're going to plug your ears and say la la la, but I'm going to try anyway. La. You should give, if you're going to give any of this shit a chance, try Supergirl. Everything I've heard about that show, I feel like you might dig it.
Okay, I will admit this. I do have Supergirl on DVD because I fucking love that movie as a kid.
I'm not even talking about the fucking movie. I'm talking about...
Hold on, let me figure it out. But I have considered giving the TV show a try because of my love for the old movie.
There you go. And the old movie is not even that good, you guys. Like,
I don't fucking care because it has, what was it, Faye Dunaway in it?
I just want to remind
you. As the bad guy?
I just want to remind you all this chick stands for Xanadu, and that movie is kind of...
I love Xanadu. You shut up about Xanadu because you know what? Don Bluth...
That's true.
His studios took time out of their busy schedule producing Dragon's The Secret Lair. Of Nim.
Yeah.
No, The Secret of Nim at the time to do Xanadu. To do that one little bit in Xanadu and almost delayed the release of the Secret of Nim, which is also one of my other favorite fucking movies of all time, so don't judge me. Oh, I will fight everyone.
Oh, here's Brad from Pod Culture with the selling line. The chick from the original movie plays Supergirl's adopted mom on the show.
Okay, sold. That was, oh, well,
see? Brad and you need a podcast.
I know her name.
Helen something, isn't
it? Helen Slater. She was also in...
How did I know that? Helen, how did I know that?
You know what else she was in?
What?
She was in The Legend of Billie Jean.
I feel like I had to tap into, like, gay superpowers to remember that. Like, we just have a knack for pop culture. I don't know what it is.
The Legend of Billie Jean was also a great movie.
Right. Moving on.
Let's talk about an awesome series on the Atari 2600 that you may or may not have ever played. It's Sword Quest. Did you ever play these Sword Quest games? They were kind of hard to understand, especially at a young age that I was when these games first came out. They were kind of like a bunch of mini games, but they all came together for this larger purpose of you were trying to, you know, look for items and traverse the kingdom and all this stuff. 1982 was when the first game in the series came out. It was Earthworld. And then finally Fireworld came out in 1983. And 1983, unfortunately, is when the video game industry went pfft. So the series was never really finished. Waterworld did, I think, get released really limitedly, like through Club Atari, and I think you can get it on some of the flashback stuff now. And then Airworld, which is supposed to be the last game, was never made. And the interesting thing about this series is that there was a prize. Like, it was supposed to be like, if you were the first person to crack the code, you got this prize thing that was worth like $250,000, which in the 80s was a lot more money than it is today. And so it was like, you know, a lot of money. But they never ended up having to give the thing away because they never really finished the series. Here's what's interesting. Dynamite Entertainment has picked up the rights to Sword Quest. They are going to launch a comic book series beginning in May to actually finish the story of Sword Quest, which Atari 2600 games didn't have much story. I seem to remember these games, I think, were like comic book style manuals of their own that told a story. So it's interesting that it's all coming back. So that's cool. The creative team behind Sword Quest is going to be Chris Sims, who wrote Marvel's X-Men 92 series, and artist Scott Kolachuk, who did Batman 66 for a bit. So that's pretty cool. So check that out. Because who knows, if the Sword Quest comic does well, maybe it will become a video game movie that doesn't suck. We'll see. Anyway, one more story for you guys, then we're going to get to the Skype line. And on our last note tonight, Dark Sakura, what do you have for us? One more story before we get to Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype.
I do? I thought I did it.
Yes, one more story.
Okay, oh yeah, duh.
Usually you don't go last, but this one was too good. This is a good last story
total,
for Olar.
TotallyFuckableAliens.com. Go ahead right now into your browser and type in totallyfuckablealiens.com. You know what you will find?
Totally fuckable aliens?
Garrus grabbing Shepard's boob. Yes, Cards Against Humanity has teamed up with BioWare for a Mass Effect pack. And I found out how many you can order at one time. 3 packs. It's $1 a pack. You fucking owe it to yourself to not only buy the packs, but also look at the beautiful fan art on the page. It's absolutely hilarious.
But you will have to understand Mass Effect a little bit for this deck to make any sense at all, right?
It's just a pack, but yeah.
Yes, but if you try to, like, just throw it in your regular Cards Against Humanity pack and, like, have a party or whatever, and your friends, like, we invite Loki over and Loki doesn't play Mass Effect, he's not going to fucking get it. He's not going to get any of it.
He would get it. If anyone hangs out with me, they will get my Mass Effect references because I've explained them. And yes, I do have to thank Ranma. I've actually reposted this on massaffecting.tumblr.com, which is my Mass Effect blog. By the way, I'm trying to get to 10,000 followers.
You have 10,000 followers?
No, I have 9,400 and something right now.
Jesus
Christ. I'm trying to get to 10,000 because if I get to 10,000...
Can't you get into E3 with those kind of numbers?
Maybe. I don't know.
I swear to God, if her math... How is her... Her Mass Effecting blog is more popular than anything on Vogue Network.
Well, I do possible? Plug the show on my blog.
I appreciate that.
We know we need more alien penis.
I know, that's right. What video game can I exploit the alien penis out of? What?
We take the engine of the new Age of the Conan game.
Yes.
And cross it with Mass Effect.
Ah, Mass Effect Exiles.
Yes.
Yes.
TotallyChangeablePenis.com.
Perfect.
No. You know how Mass Effecting started?
Yeah, you had like one
I was bored.
Thing that got a million notes or something, and you were like, I should exploit this for an entire
blog.
No,
that wasn't it. I got really... Okay, I was looking at one of my screen caps, and it's one of the Turian characters cross-eyed. So I just wrote Derpians under it and posted it on my blog because I thought it was funny. Because
that's what fucking happens on Tumblr outside of the pornography. I did have to do a little research because I knew there was tons of porn on Tumblr. I mean, hello.
Well, yeah.
But if you actually what is Tumblr really supposed to be for? Like what they told Yahoo to buy it for? is just random shit, like what just Darkstalker explained.
For the most part, it is just random shit.
It's memes.
Yeah.
Dank fucking memes.
But, like, I went from doing, like, one or so a week to now doing one every fucking day, to the point that I've managed to get out of doing 2 days' worth of them by having a blank one go up as a caption contest and picking the winner at the end of the week.
Nice.
Who I also have to thank one of my followers on that for, so...
Come on, Noel Gus in chat says, not to brag or anything, Dark Sakura does a hair flip. Totally happened. Totally happened.
It kind of did, yeah. But, so I've decided that I'm going to try to do a giveaway for my 10,000th follower.
Mm.
No fucking clue because I'm broke.
Alien hand job.
I probably draw you like Garrus's dick or something.
Therapy. Why don't you give away some therapy for your 10,000th follower?
I'll give away some Theraflu.
I don't know.
I need suggestions.
Come on, Noel Gus in chat asks, oh, by the way, does anyone know of a Tumblr screensaver or autoplayer? Can't always scroll.
How about your down button?
Maybe come on, Noel Gus is working that down button somewhere else.
You're trying to kill me, aren't you?
This kills the Dark Sakura.
Now I can inherit her Mass Effecting blog, and I shall be the most popular on Vogue Network. All right, Skype line is open. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. We're a feisty bunch tonight. I'm like, this is a good episode. If you want to be a part of it, or if you want to bring this episode to a screeching halt, give us a call. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype.
I need to be on drugs more often, I think.
To talk about anything. You know, when she shows up to the show, I try to be like, hey, Jamie, you want a shot of Stroop Waffle? You want to? Just kidding. I only offer her coffee, which is a drug of its own.
Well, I actually did have coffee with Stroop Waffle in, and you want to know something?
What, did you steal Stroop Waffle?
I have a bottle of my own. I live by a Total Wine. Hello. Yeah. Okay, anyway, it was the first time I felt good today, was having a little bit of alcohol
mixing alcohol with that medication you're taking. I'm sure you felt something.
I wasn't
something.
Taking the codeine at the time.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Again, it's Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. While we wait for those flood of phone calls that I'll have to sift through, I'm going to check in with Loki or Dark Saga for any last-minute stories.
Sure. So we can talk about Nintendo suing a company that's involved in making real-life Mario Kart.
And we'll do that after we take this phone
call. God damn it.
Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this? Hola. Bienvenido a Orange Lounge Radio. ¿Quién es? Our caller is not coming through. If you can hear me, we can't hear you. You'll have to try again. This was just a ploy to get Loki to do his story, clearly.
Reset Orange Lounge Radio.
All right, Loki, why don't you finish up your thought then?
So they apparently rent public road carts to any customer, and they lend, I guess, a costume of one of the characters, and then, of course, you drive around and stuff. So, and Nintendo doesn't like that because, you know, it's infringing on their properties.
It's just Mario Kart. They just sue everybody who dresses up as a
Halloween. Seriously, it's people dressing up, cosplaying, driving in go-karts. I'm sorry, you're going to like sue people for cosplay now? I guess. They're Nintendo.
All right, Brad from Pod Culture in chat is suggesting as an idea for an OLR fundraiser, Jamie does shots of Fireball and streams Halo, but you don't like Fireball. How about shots of Stroop?
It actually makes me super nauseous.
Okay, how about shots of Stroop Waffle in Halo?
I'd do that.
There we go. And see, Brad, negotiation is key.
I'd do shots of Hennessy.
By the way.
Or sips of Hennessy.
Brad
anyway.
From Pod Culture, I hope you're able to make it to Dragon Con this year because like you introduced me to Fireball, I'm going to be putting in my suitcase some Stroop Waffle and it's on at Dragon Con this year. That's all I'm saying. Anyway.
You're welcome for that, by the way.
So what do you think about a fundraiser of video games we fucking hate? Like, and you are forced to play Halo for charity? And this is Dark Sakura made a face versus charity, Dark Sakura.
I don't know.
It could even be like one of your I hate Trump charities or something.
Okay.
There we go. All right. So that was easy.
Well, offline, you and I should have a talk about something because I will be having to put together a charity when I make novice.
All right, so forcing people to play video games they don't like. So what would I have to play? What's a video game I really don't like? What do you guys, listen to this show more than I do. What's a video game I don't like that I'll be forced to play? Don't play. Yaris. Don't say DDR or I'll thwap you.
Yaris.
I don't even know if I own Yaris anymore.
Or like Madden.
I can kind of suck it up with
a
sports game.
We should just get like copies of Cheetah Men and play it for
Can I just play Tecmo Bowl instead?
No,
you like that. It defeats the purpose.
Fine.
So what game would I have to play?
Nintendo.
Kirby's Dream Land.
No. I don't hate that. I've never played that.
Loki kind of actually likes...
Stoppy says Desert Bus.
Loki actually kind of likes a lot of Nintendo games. What?
Fuck, what was that awfully bad...
Mass Effect. Loki has to play Mass Effect.
I don't...
But he doesn't have an emotional attachment one way or another to it.
Just because I didn't like it the first time I played, I didn't get it.
I have judgment.
Judgment?
Brilliant.
Good luck finding
Brilliant.
That.
Brilliant. We will fucking make it happen. There's somebody in Sacramento has a copy of I Had Judgment.
Now I just looked in chat and Bobby had already suggested it.
Stoppy says for Loki, his own game. You have to code your game on stream. Oh my God, that's even better.
That's it. We have a substream of just Loki.
No, while you and I are playing the games we hate, Loki is forced to sit there and work on his fucking game.
On the live stream.
On the live stream.
That's fine. I'm glad I'd have time to actually work on that.
Let's check in with Loki and see if he's done anything for his fucking game.
Right now, he's in the corner in a fetal position.
Check out this wonderfully handcrafted 3D geometric shape of my middle finger fucking flipping you off.
I've been wanting to do a video game marathon for like 10 years, so I'm glad something may come of this. Anyway, William Murderface says Loki has to dress as Tingle. Well, that won't happen, but maybe we could get him to play the Tingle game on 3DS.
I don't have a problem playing a game with Tingle in it. That's whatever.
Yeah, it's a little. I like the force him to work on his game.
They should
do
a new game called Tickle My Tingle.
Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
This is Ron Mudd. I would like to give a giant fuck you to Skype tonight, okay?
Yeah, you sound like you're like, I feel like your Skype is on one side of the room, and you're on the other side of the room yelling at it.
No, because here's the thing. I went out and decided to update one of the USB adapters I do my podcast with, and I already set the settings for the secondary device for music. Skype doesn't pay attention, so when the call picked up, I'm like, it's coming through the headphones. Grab the headphones. I don't hear shit. What the fuck's going on? Check the settings. Coming through external sound blaster.
I wasn't going to tell everybody you were that fail call a minute ago, but if you're going to out yourself as that, then fine.
I have no problem owning up to that. I really don't, because in between that, the fact that I am missing half a carpet in my apartment, and the fact that I went IKEA shopping for new furniture, it's been quite a week.
All right. What's on your mind tonight, Rama, besides anger?
Oh, two things. Number one, I want to agree with you on Cards Against Humanity. I have to, when I go out to conventions and certain events, I have to go through my decks and take out certain expansion packs so that people do not get confused.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, not everyone who plays this game are diehard gamers, geeks, and nerds.
Yes. You probably have, like, anime expansions that if you tried to play with me, I'd be like, this sounds like it might be funny.
Actually, no. The most you probably get confused with is the Cards Against New York, Cards Against Brooklyn expansion packs. But you will pick up on that pretty quick.
I think I could probably figure out. I watch enough cop shows.
I can kind of agree with that.
What's the other thing?
All right, I'm coming. I'm listening to the shows, which is why I was kind of late getting the Classic Game of the Week up. I want to give a shout out to Jamie.
Ah!
The Switch. I think we're probably the only two that get that.
Huh? When you said that somebody have to go out in the backyard.
Oh, yeah.
Go out and get the Switch. Yes. I've told friends of mine stories of me go out and get the Switch. Now, you try to be a smart ass to get like the smallest Switch possible, and you think that, oh, this will be an easy beating. No. Your mom still, or your grandmother, finds a way to take this little Switch, give you a sound beating, and send you back outside for a regulation size one for round two.
Oh, no, 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 no. It was always, you had to get something that was right in between the really whip thin ones or a log. Yeah.
So
had to be right in the middle of that.
A switch is just the southern version of the belt or la chancla, right?
Not southern version, it's an add-on.
Okay, the switch is literally you go and you find the camellia bush in your backyard. You pick it off, you pick all the leaves off of it, and you pray that you've gotten all the little nubby bits too.
See, I didn't have that. Where I lived, there were yellow honeysuckle branches and bushes growing. That's where I had to pick it from.
It was either camellias or azaleas or camellias.
And for the record, Darsaga, la chancla is the thong shoes that when you piss mom off, she's going to take off her chancla and beat you with it. Yeah.
There is a shirt that says,
we never used footwear because footwear in the South is all cowboy boots. That would murder a child.
This murders the child.
All right.
You just want to make them wish they were dead.
Rama, anything else you want to share with us tonight?
I ran into two Japanese girls on the train, and they were amused by my wireless headphones because you have custom ear pads on them. Mine has the Ranma 1/2 logo on them. They found it quite cute.
I have not seen these headphones. I bet it was adorable.
If you go to VModa and you get like the wireless crossfades, you can get custom 2D and 3D engraving.
Only in New York.
No, this is anywhere really.
No, I mean only in New York would these types of things happen.
Oh, pretty much. All right. I mean, it's gotten to the point where I see someone in different colored hair. I'm like, do I know that cosplayer?
All right. My friend, I'm going to let you go to try squeezing some more calls, but good luck and fix your Skype, damn it.
I will be working, or else you'll be hearing an explosion this side of the East River.
Yeah, because you kind of have a big deal show on Tuesday. Here I was
actually,
pimping.
No, we don't. It's next Tuesday because I'm going to see Mega Ran in concert Tuesday night.
Oh, God. I was like, here I was pumping up your 300th episode, which I thought was the next Tuesday.
No,
and then you
that's
did...
why I said March 7th.
March 7th. All right. Now, yes. All right. Well, good. Now you all have time to plan. So March. Well, that'll be fun seeing Mega Ran. Tell him OLR says hi. He was on our show it was like 5 years ago. It was a while ago, but tell him OLR says hi. He'll have no idea who the fuck we are.
Having lunch with him on Tuesday too. So.
Oh, I didn't know you all were friends. That's fun.
He's just a cool dude like that.
Yeah, he is a cool dude. Yeah. All right. Well, have fun at the concert.
Will do.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. If you would like to give us a call, let's see. Bobby Blackwolf talking about the Cards Against Humanity issue that was brought up on that call, saying, I actually had to take out the PAX packs, that's the PAX, PACKS, for my local group because they didn't get all the references, because the PAX one is all about video games and probably the in-jokes of things that happen at PAX. So, yeah, you definitely have to take those out. So. JD is pointing out some of those stories that Rama was telling about in New York could also happen in San Francisco. That is for sure. That is for sure. All right. anyway, going to take one last call for calls. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. Last chance to get in and have a say on something going on tonight. Loki, any last minute stories you want to... anything else you need to touch on?
No.
No? I will give a quick promotion. I'm going to try to, after the show, once everything's all wrapped up, I'm going to try to roll right over and do a live stream tonight because I'm all set up and ready to go in the office. So hopefully within about 15 minutes of the show ending tonight, I should be up on Twitch over at twitch.tv/RobRoberts. I'm going to play something that is not one of my usuals tonight. I'm going to do something on Wii U. I haven't decided if I want to do Virtual Console or if I want to do something like Mario Maker.
I need to borrow your mic.
What mic? Like, oh, the blue snowball mic. Yeah, you can borrow that. That was even donated to me. I think that was something Cody had sent me. So I'm sure
I was about to buy one.
I'm sure he would be thrilled if you used it.
Because it'll work well with GarageBand because Dan and I are talking about doing our thing.
Yeah, do it. That'd be fun. So again, that's twitch.tv/RobRoberts is my Twitch channel and should be, or it should be auto hosted on Vogue Network. So if you're at least following Vogue Network, you should get that. Again, I'm trying to decide what I'm going to do after the show. I'm kind of in a retro mood, so I think I'm going to end up doing something Virtual Console. I just haven't decided yet.
So you know it is on Virtual Console. I started and it already annoyed me.
Hmm.
Mother.
Oh yeah, like the old school Earthbound Zero. Yeah, yeah.
It's worth it.
How did it annoy you?
It's just like some repetitive shit.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was
right at the start of the game.
It was a different day and age, that's for sure. So, all right. Well, nobody else is calling on the Skype line, so I guess that's going to do it for calls tonight. I know a lot of our usual live crowd is probably distracted by the Oscars. Are they over yet? It's almost midnight on the East Coast. They've got to be over.
Apparently,
at this point, right?
Selma Hayek had a sequined penis on her dress.
That's lovely.
I know, one of my friends just told me.
I see.
Ask to find a picture of it now.
I'm assuming La La Land won Best Picture. I mean, it got all those nominations.
God, I hope not. It's a fucking movie about Hollywood being in love with itself.
Well, that's what are the Oscars, Dark Sagra?
That's pretty good odds.
There was Hidden Figures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's much better movies.
The last movie I saw in the theaters was Warcraft. So I haven't seen any of these movies.
Doctor Strange.
I have no opinion.
But before that, it was Warcraft.
I want to see Beauty and the Beast because that is my favorite Disney movie.
Do you know that I have the work in progress laser disc of that?
No. Is that the one where it flips with the scenes where it does the... I saw this once.
It flips to the storyboard
scenes. Oh, that's awesome.
I have the laser disc of that. I don't even remember how I got it, but we have it.
Hmm. Cool. Yeah. Kaijudo in chat says, no best picture yet, but the director just won. I'm assuming the director for La La Land won.
What the fuck ever.
And usually the director and the picture are the same thing. Actually, not all, the past couple of years, that trend's been broken. I think they've split up a little bit. So, all right. Well, we are going to end up the show tonight. We'll be back in 7 days to talk about the Switch and whatever else goes on in gaming news. Maybe some of you will be checking out Horizon Zero Dawn. I'd like to hear some impressions on that as well. So it's going to be a busy week next week. We'll see how the news treats us. In the meantime, we're going to wrap up and get on out of here. Thank you so much for listening to Orange Lounge Radio. If you were here live or if you were here via the podcast feed, we appreciate it. Be sure to tell a friend or two about the show because word of mouth goes an awful long way in helping us get the word of Orange Lounge Radio out there. We really appreciate it. A 5-star review, guys. I can't stress this enough. On a place like iTunes or wherever it is you found this show, if you haven't left a 5-star review yet, that helps a lot. So please, if you take like 15 seconds and do that, we would love you forever. Mwah. Otherwise, it's time to go around and get everybody's final thought for the night. Loki, your final thought tonight.
My final thought is, I guess I'll work on my game.
Good answer.
A game. I don't know which one because I have started like a million of them.
Loki. My final thought is I can't wait to play with these little mini arcade machines that Darksucker bought me. Although now I'm at that point where I'm like, do I leave them in the box as a collector or do
Fuck,
I take
we
them
didn't.
Out? Yeah, I feel like I have to take them out of the box and actually
They're
play
$20,
them.
$20, dude. They're not going to go up in value that much.
You should find these things on eBay. They're actually, people are flipping them on eBay. I couldn't believe it.
People are dumb.
Yeah. And lastly, but not leastly, Dark Sakura.
Two things. I want this fucking sinus infection to go the fuck away. And we didn't do the FUs of the week.
No, we
haven't been.
It's funny enough, we talked about that last week. We haven't been for a while, actually. Well, it was noticed that we've kind of been missing us. Do you need some FUs tonight?
Just real quick, fuck you to sinus infection.
Wait, you cannot give an FU without the music. No, we talked last week and we noticed ever since we shifted our show roll around where FUs were supposed to be at the end, we've kind of just been ending the show, but we said FUs will still be done on an as-needed basis. So
no,
it sounds like, well, all right, tonight it is needed. Dark Soccer has asked for some FUs.
F you to my sinus infection. Fuck it. I'm tired of feeling this way. And also F you to Kaiser for not at least letting me have some kind of leave of some kind so that I can rest when I feel fucking shitty. So I am on week 5 now of my antibiotics. I'm tired of yogurt. And I'm tired of hacking up everything that ever has touched my lungs. Tired of it. Oh my god. And I feel much better now.
You're welcome. My FU of the week goes to the fact that award shows are always on Sundays.
You know what? This show is always on Sundays, and I was here first. Okay, maybe not. I think the Oscars are like 80-something years old. But you know what? The Oscars were on Monday at one point in my life. So go back to Monday, assholes. Loki, anything you need to get off your chest for the FUs of the week?
I just have a headache. But it's from... It's because my family's trying to suffocate me.
All right. There it is, the FUs of the week, as needed by Dark Sakura. As her final thought. So there it is. That's the episode of Orange Lounge Radio. In the can. We're done. We're out of here. What?
One last final thought. God, I said damn it. Two.
You said two. One was the...
The sinus infection.
Fine. What's the other?
Resist.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for being here. We'll see you in 7 days to do it all over again. Later.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.